And welcome, everybody, to episode 579 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, this is going to be an awesome show. How are you?
Do you say that like every week, or is it just me?
Well, I think this show is going to be extremely awesome. We have a special guest interview tonight with Benjamin Dixon, which I'm looking forward to. I hope you guys are looking forward to that as well. We very rarely get interviews on the show, so I'm really excited. I don't know about you guys. No?
Cool. I'm happy for interviews, yeah.
Yeah. How was your week, Brake?
It was all right, I guess. Yeah, it's not bad. It was a week and it happened, and now I'm here.
Yeah, you are. And what about you, Eric? You doing all right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the news. Our interview's coming up at 8:30 Eastern, so if you're listening live, that's what it is. If you're listening on the archives, well, you know, it's whatever time you're listening to the interview, so there you go. It'll be the last, basically, half hour of the show. So, all right, let's get into this.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you're up.
As long as it doesn't turn into that Pizzagate thing. God, 2 weeks in a row that guy talked for like 2 hours.
No, it definitely wasn't. It's not Pizzagate at all. Yeah, trust me, it's going to be much better than that interview. But that was fun in a different way, man. I mean, you guys know how I feel about conspiracy theories and shit.
I don't remember
like
his name. I'm just going to go with Pizzagate guy.
Pizzagate Howie, I think, was his name. All right, Eric, take us away.
Okay, horror tactical RPG Other Side launches for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this summer. Focus Home Interactive has announced that tactical RPG Other Side will be coming out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's a blend of horror, genre, storytelling, turn-based strategic combat, and a monochromatic color style aesthetic. Developed by Lightbulb Crew, it'll be also presented at PAX East, which is this weekend. Excuse me.
Eric had to sneeze.
You,
how funny!
Are you living? Are you? Oh, that was a sneeze. I thought like he was choking
I had some
or
shit
something.
In my throat.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
he was
that's what
choking.
It sounded like something was in your throat.
I wasn't choking. I was gagging.
Okay. Ooh.
Well. Yeah.
All right, Eric. Continue on, my friend.
My allergies are bothering me, I guess.
Yeah. Anything else about this, Eric?
Features dynamic turn-based combat and a new way to anticipate enemy movements to perform flawless tactical plan using the timeline system and a unique set of skills. You'll be able to interrupt an enemy attack. Plan delayed action will be triggered later in the timeline and use reaction skills.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video of this, guys, and one thing comes to mind, atmosphere. I like it. I've talked for years about having an RPG that was specifically based in horror, you know, and this looks like it's coming close. I just, the tactical part kind of scares me off, but they said turn-based, I'm there, you know, turn-based strategy, okay, but this is something that I might give a try, you know what I mean? I might do it just because it looks very atmospheric and horrific, you know, like a horror type game. So that's cool stuff. Anything else on that, Eric?
Not really. All right. There's a couple other side notes, but nothing really special.
Okay. It'd be worth checking out. I have to say it looks a little dark. I mean, I know that's what you want in a horror game, but what I mean by that is from the video, it looks like, you know, indistinguishable from, you know, like characters look indistinguishable. But that might change by the time it comes out, you know. So, all right, Break, what do we got next?
Coming to us live from RPG site, the Dungeon of Nahulbol? What the
It's French word.
Nahulbol?
I guess.
The Amulet of Chaos to release for PC in summer 2020. Yeah, that game. Publisher Dear Villagers and developer Artifact Studios have announced that the game that I just said, because I don't want to say the name again, is coming out in summer of 2020, which is what we also just said.
Yes. Yes, we
did. The dungeon of this fucking French-created fictional universe. Le Dungeon de Nahulbol that started as a comedy auto parody of role-playing and fantasy tropes. It has since become a series of books, comic books, and a tabletop game. The Amulet of Chaos will be the first video game in the series, and it will have French, English, and German audio and text. The English voiceover is headlined by Felicia Day.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a nice addition. She's a friend of video games for sure. There's a lot of video games.
Features to this game: explore a huge and surprising dungeon from the cave of the luxury quarters of the evil lord Zangar. Zangar? Yes. No, Zangar. Passing through the Goblin Ice Skating Park in an extremely lively tavern. Play with 7 classic role-playing game characters complementing each other's skills as you level them up. The Ranger, the Elf, the Dwarf, the Barbarian, the Magician, the Ogre, and the Thief. Exciting turn-based battles with creative support mechanics between team members and expansive bestiary. More than 100 enemies pushing you to think more tactically with every fight. Hidden and destructive objects, including beer kegs. Why would you destroy a beer keg?
Well, if there's no beer in
empty.
It. Yeah, it's empty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck, this thing's empty. I'm destroying it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
So hidden and destructive objects with surprising status effects will turn the tide of battle for the better or worse. An adaptive difficulty system from accessible and fun story mode with simplified combat to the nightmare mode where the smallest tactical errors will doom you. Yeah. Bizarre conversations, absurd situations, and unusual encounters await.
Yeah, it looks like, from the video, it looks like a cross between Diablo, Dungeons & Dragons, and Fortnite. It's kind of got a Fortnite art style, sort of. You know, that kind of like, it's not cel shaded, but it's very cartoony. But it looks good, man. I looked at the video and it'd be something that I wouldn't mind playing. You know, it looks light on the strategy elements and looks very heavy on the turn based combat. So, right up my alley, it looks like. So, there you go. All right. Anything else on that break?
No, I want to know more about the story. It's supposed to be a comedy, right? So I'd like to know more about that stuff.
Yeah. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Death End Request 2 launches in North America and Europe in 2020 for PlayStation 4. So I just mentioned that. Makoto Kadoin. Kedoin, I should say. I'm trying to get my Japanese a little bit better, guys. Returns from the first entry to helm the game's scenario, while Kai Nanameda also returns to handle character design. The game will feature both English and Japanese voiceovers with English text and be available both physically and digitally. The first Death End Request released for the PS4 in the West.
Well, that's a relief to hear because, like, Idea Factory is just going digital mainly.
Yeah. In February 2019, later launched on Steam, May 2019. An overview of the game and some Japanese version screenshots can be found below. And the artwork was always good for this game. No question. So, key features. Overkill brings huge rewards. Beware of the Berserker. During dungeon exploration and battle, a faceless black figure will appear out of nowhere. The figure will also display an area of attack once it appears. Maya and her squad must step away from the Berserker's area attack as it will instantly kill anyone with a single blow. Run away from the Berserker in the dungeon or defeat all the existing monsters in the battlefield to escape. Day and night, Mai will need to explore the town of Lechora during the day and speak with the townspeople to find out clues. So basically like an old school RPG where you had to go into the town to get kind of the story and where to go next and stuff. That's what that sounds like to me. let's see. By night, she will fight her way through dark creatures stylized in a turn-based RPG, experience the story through the lens of a visual novel during the day and battle it out against horrific creatures by night. So that sounds really interesting. Was that how the first one was, Eric?
No, the first one was more like you're stuck in a virtual RPG MMO and you have to figure out like where this person's being kidnapped. Like, because like, the premise is that she's locked in a building somewhere and you have to find her.
Ah, okay.
But the story gets a little bit more complex than that, but that's how it starts out.
It's an interesting premise. I should have checked this out when the first one came out. Don't call it a knockback. The knockback system is back in Death End Request 2, but this time my inner squad can smack Shadow Matter even harder. Combo your attacks by flinging monsters to other party members. So it's like a juggling system. I've seen this in certain video games before, but that's really cool. It's sort of like
take better and more advantage of it, because like that's one of the things that was just weird. It's like it was a mechanic in the first game, but I think it was highly underutilized.
Yeah. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is how East Sealth of Fal'Gana and East Memories of Celceta on Windows, or the Steam versions, and like GOG versions, I guess, are going to be updated with Japanese voice tracks, or at least Elephant Fal'Gana is going to have English voice actors because it didn't have any voice acting before.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing they're pulling audio from the PSP game. And Mary Celceta is going to have a Japanese audio track, but the games don't have, well, especially Memories of Celceta, doesn't have much. Excuse me. I don't want to talk a whole lot today because my throat's just acting up.
Yeah, no problem, Eric. No problem. All right.
Anyways, the Memories of Celceta has voice acting, but it's usually only in key scenes, and it's usually like little quips and not entire lines.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool deal, man.
Elder Fal'Gana on PSP did have full voice acting.
I remember this being an excellent game, Eric. I played a little bit of this, so.
Elder Fal'Gana has also been updated with alternate soundtracks from the console or from the PSP release as well.
Yeah, cool deal. All right, anything else on that, Eric?
Nope, that's it.
All right, break.
Coming to us live from RPG Site. Era Fell Enhanced Edition to release on all consoles March 26th. Well, that's some stuff right there. Initially released on Steam on 2016, Era Fell is a 16-bit era Japanese-style RPG. New Enhanced Edition will release for not only Steam, but nearly every platform on home console and mobile. Holy shit. The Enhanced Edition features a variety of upgrades and changes, including a revamped battle system, new side quest, overhaul UI, new character classes and skills, upgraded crafting system, new enchantment system, new aspect ratios, new difficulty modes, autosave feature, Twitch integration, and more. Some of those, like an autosave feature, I think there should have maybe already been in.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like they should have just said it's a completely different game. You know, that's what you were saying to me when you were saying all that, Break.
Well, the good news is for the people who already bought it in Steam, they can upgrade for free.
Oh, that's really nice.
So if they have the original, you can get the Ultimate Edition, or the Enhanced Edition, I'm sorry, for free.
It looks really good. It looks excellent, I would say. It's an old school 16-bitter, but looks good.
Era Fell combines the best parts of Japanese-style role-playing games with the best parts of Western RPGs, as well as including elements of visual novels and adventure games to create a truly unique experience. Atmosphere, emotion, and surprise lie at the forefront of Era Fell's story. Driven by deep and accessible characters, each with his or own past. Really? Characters have a past, huh? Their own desires and their own motives for joining the protagonist's quest. Join Lita and relive the golden age of RPGs with a game that both pays homage to past greats as well as blazing its own trail. Did I say trial? I meant trail.
Yeah, trail.
Exploration, open world, tactical combat, and character driven. I'm not going to go into the rest of that because, you know, that speaks for itself.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. This is the second time I've seen this particular video because I played it twice, and for a 16-bit game, this game looks gorgeous. It looks really fucking good. I hope the gameplay is really good too, because this game looks like a throwback to I don't know, maybe Final Fantasy VI?
Yeah, because this definitely looks like later in the 16-bit era when they really maximized the technology. I wanted to play this game earlier,
but it wasn't on consoles, and I'd rather play there.
Yeah, same here, Eric. All right, it's my turn next. Let's move on to the next story from RPGsite.net. And it is a story about Element Space, set to release for console on March 24th. So let's see. It's a video game in the tactical, a lot of tactical games today, from Inca Games, apparently, developer Sixth Vowel, and Blowfish Studios. I've heard of Blowfish before. I wonder what they did. I can't remember. So it's a tactical turn-based RPG's genre set in a dystopian future where mankind has colonized three solar systems and their vicinities. The player takes the spotlight in a new intergalactic upheaval, leading their own squadron into dangerous situations and dealing with the consequences of the choice. So basically Star Wars is what they're saying.
Without the license.
Yeah. Without the license.
Disney is not poor.
No, they're...
I get the feeling this game's more like Mass Effect.
Or Mass Effect. Tactics. Yeah, Mass Effect. Yeah, tactical Mass Effect. Which, it looks pretty. I mean, it's a tactical game. It's not exactly up my alley, but it does have kind of a Mass Effect feel to it, doesn't it, Eric? Mm. Yeah. All right. What do we got next, Eric?
We've got a remake of Gothic has been announced, which is, I guess, interesting. But as long as it's not... You know, Gothic 4. That was awful. Don't ever play Gothic 4. Especially on the PS3. That was the worst version of the game ever.
Yeah. THQ Nordic Barcelona is the developer.
Technically, so. It wasn't
Wait,
Gothic.
Is it one of those games that's so bad you need to see it at least once?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's that underwhelming. But wow. it wasn't even called Gothic 4. It was called Arcana, a Gothic Tale.
So is it like Too Human bad, or is it like Deadly Premonition bad?
It's more like Too Human bad.
Good answer, man. Good answer. All right, anything else on this, Eric?
But THQ Nork is doing this. Anyways, the remake will be developed by, internally by...
Eric, you're having a hard time. Should we just take over the news, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
I can't really talk tonight.
Yeah, let's just give you a pass on the rest of the news, Eric. Break, next story, please.
I have to do work. I'm going to live from RPG site. Little Town Hero Big Idea Edition heading to PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch in June. And I guess America has announced the Little Town... I just said this! June 2nd is the date in North America, and June 5th in Europe, and June 12th in Oceania. Shh, dog, shh. Little Town Hero, developed by Game Freak. Previously released a digital title on Nintendo Switch eShop in October 2019. And As America has also took to PlayStation blog to discuss the new physical edition of the game, including a mention of a new easy mode for those who simply want to experience the charm and art style. Yeah. A reverse cover contest is also taking place, and you can vote on NAS America website. The game will be $49.99.
I love reverse covers. Break, if I get a physical copy, I either want a steelbook edition or... an edition that has a reversible cover. I don't know what it is. Like, my Spider-Man game came with a reversible cover, and the first thing I do is reverse that fucking cover, man. Like, I always do that. It's, I don't know. It's just one of my things. So that's kind of a neat little...
I think this is even cooler. So they're not charging you anymore for the... Oh, my God.
What, Frank? What?
My computer just went into sleep mode.
Oh, how great. Well, we can still hear you. Do you need to work on that while I work on the next story?
I think that just means the monitor is dead.
You there, Break? Did we lose Break? Yeah, we lost Break, so I'll go ahead and do the rest of the news.
Hopefully I'm better by the time we get to my reviews.
Yeah. If not, dude, you can, we can do Free For All and some other stuff, but let's talk about the next story, which is from RPGsite.net. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition, Update 3.6 on Nintendo Switch, adds cross save support with PC and more graphical options. So, not only does the patch add more graphical options and more text languages, but this update also adds the capability to transfer your save file from the Steam or GOG versions of the game onto the Nintendo Switch version. The developer notes that modded PC content might affect the save transfer. Yeah, so don't do the mod thing if you're going to cross-save. The graphic options are reportedly bloom, sharpen, depth of field for cutscenes, chromatic aberration, water quality, foliage visibility range, anti-aliasing. And there's some full notes. I don't know if I have to go through all the full notes, but that's neat that they're giving us more options. I don't think I'm going to get this game on the Switch, even though that would be an advantage to be portable. But I heard that it looks really, really good on the Switch. I mean, not comparatively to the PS4 or Xbox, of course, but do you have this, Eric? The Witcher 3?
No.
All right. Let me see if I can add break back to the call. I don't know what happened there. That's really weird. We'll try adding break back. All right. The next story comes to us from also RPGsite.net. Dissidia Final Fantasy NT is dead. No more updates or for arcade or PS4. No plans for a sequel. Looks like the end of the line for the struggling Dissidia Final Fantasy NT and its parent game Dissidia Final Fantasy Arcade. Both versions of the game are set to wrap up in the next few weeks. Square Enix announced in an update stream about the game. This marks an unceremonious end to the game, which has consistently seen a decent level of success in Japanese arcades, but struggled to find an audience on console. In arcades, its 3-on-3 multiplayer battles worked more easily, but on console, a lack of single-player content and netcode that helped to suffocate the complex and often convoluted battle system made it difficult to recommend. A later free-to-play release, which also hit PC, suffered the same fate and failed to reinvigorate the game's online community. Despite that, Dissidia NT has received significant support over the years. A number of classic Final Fantasy heroes and villains were added to the game, always first arriving in Japanese arcades before making their way to console a little while later. Final Fantasy XV villain Arden Izunia joined the roster just last month. It appears Arden will be the final character addition, with the updates rolling out this month and next, simply about balancing of characters and summon monsters. The last major update for NT will happen on March 5th, with the arcade version getting it earlier on February 20th. While updates for the game will cease, producer Ichiro Hazuma confirmed that the online service will continue across all platforms. The online service will continue running, so it won't be a case where you cannot play the game anymore, Hazuma said. The stream also clarified that the online service would also, quote, eventually end, but players will be informed about the timing of that later when the time is near. I'm guessing they'll probably give it a year before they have to close out the servers. The live stream was also used to temper fan expectations for the future. Despite support for Dissidia Final Fantasy NT coming to a rather sudden end, there are currently no plans for a sequel to the fight spinoff that began life on the PSP. We don't want to make false anticipations, so we want to make it clear that right now, there are no plans for Dissidia Final Fantasy II at all, director Takeo Kujiroka explained. There will be a final officially supported Dissidia Final Fantasy tournament at fighting game event Toshinsai in Japan, which will be after the final patch. If they found some balance-breaking issues after the final major update, they promise they will still work on a minor update to rebalance the game. That, as they say, is all she wrote. It's the end of the line for Dissidia NT, but it's still playable online if you can find a match, which was difficult enough when the game was getting regular updates. Here's hoping the series can return one day with a less polarizing release. Yeah, I don't know. Dissidia was never my thing. I remember playing a little bit of Dissidia, not really enjoying it all too much. Eric, did you play Dissidia?
Not really.
Yeah. I don't think very many people did. All right, let's move on to our final story of the day. And this is exciting, Eric. Record of Lodoss War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth, coming to Steam Early Access on March 13th.
Well, we talked about this, but now it's actually getting a Steam release.
Yeah, it looks like a Castlevania, like a Metroidvania-type game, but it's actually... It reminds me a little... what's that Bloodstained Ritual of the Night type game? Which is also, you know, Castlevania successor, but... looks really good.
Yeah, but they're like, they specifically animated Deedlit's cape to work like Alucard's.
Yeah, yeah, it does look like that, which is fine. It looks good. Slagar's in chat. What's up, Slagar? We're going to have a really good show. We've already started because we're having an interview later on the show at 8:30 Eastern.
It's just weird, like 40 years later after Lost War comes out.
I know, man. Speaking
of game.
I know, but it looks good. I hope it reinvigorates that whole franchise and we get more Record of Lodoss War stuff. What's up, Slagar? Really appreciate you joining the chat. We have a really good interview with Benjamin Dixon later on in the show. I hope you can stick around for that. Welcome on
in. There was that like spiritual successor that came out recently for the anime, but there's no game based on that yet.
No, but that anime was interesting too. I did see that anime. It's a lot different, but there are enough similarities to kind of keep me going.
I think it was Grand Crest War.
Yeah, Agarest War is what it was.
No, Grand Crest, not Agarest. Agarest is something else.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you were right. It was Grand Crest. Gang Crest War.
Grand Crest.
Yeah, I can't say it, Eric. It's, you know, whatever. I mean, Grand Crest.
It's actually working out. I took a nasal spray, so it's finally kicking in.
Oh, good, man. Right on. So we got you back. Let's see if we can get Breakman back here in a second. Let's see. What? No homie discounts really this week, although, Eric, can you you did have actually... a homie discount. What was
basically
it?
What's happening is like the running. I have runny nose, but it's going down my throat instead.
Oh, yuck! Yuckorama. That's TMI, bud. Oh man, just waiting for Break to get back on, and we'll have him back on in just a second. But what was the homie discount that you had, Eric?
I didn't have any. I just wanted to mention the PSN sale going on.
Yeah, anything in particular? I think I saw, what was it?
Neo, the complete collection is $20. And unless you just want to buy the base game, which is like $15. But why would you if it's only $5 difference?
Yeah.
It's usually never on sale.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting. Yeah, definitely get all the content.
Only $50.
Yeah, definitely get all the content. Breakman, do we have you back?
I guess.
Damn, man. I kept trying, man. I don't know. Did you have to restart?
Also all the Final Fantasy 15 DLC is like $250. And then the multiplayer is like, I think it's like maybe $3. But like, if you got the Royal Edition, all you need to buy is the episode art.
All right, cool. All right, let's move on to... Look at this, Breakman.
I don't really feel like doing it right now. I'm in an irritated mood.
Oh, poor Breakman. Doesn't feel like doing his own segment. Dear Breakman. What do we got, Dear Breakman? Anything in Dear Breakman? you don't want to do it? You want to come back to it maybe after?
I guess. I don't know. Hold on.
We can go back to it, man.
I don't know.
Poor Breakman, man. He's having a rough day, man. We need encouragement. Type one in chat for Breakman. Let him know that you want it.
Okay, I had to scroll to find it. Okay, Dear Breakman.
Yeah.
This comes from Glitterina.
Oof. Okay.
Friend of the show. She says, why do so many couples stay together when they aren't in love anymore? Well, that's obviously because they're stupid.
I think that's as succinct of an answer as anybody's ever gonna get on that topic, Breakman. Anything else?
Well, you know, I got to give advice here. I can't just tell them it's because they're stupid. They got to figure out how to get out of those relationships, right? Or I guess you were talking from a third person perspective, Arena. So you're watching these idiots and you're just saying, "God damn, these idiots." Now I got and they come to you and one of them, and they independently bitch about the other one all the time. Like, are you throwing me in the middle of your horse shit, you jackass?
Yeah, talking behind the other person's back and stuff like that. Yeah,
why don't you just go cheat on each other like normal people? Like, God. Sick of your shit.
Oh man, Breakman. Breakman's on a roll, man. What? You got anything else, Breakman?
That's awesome. Let me see here. What else should she do? I mean, if she really wants to be an instigator, she
Look,
Slagar,
before you get to that, Breakman, I'm sorry. Slagar says, "I'm sure we've all banged things we didn't love."
That's true.
Yeah, that's true, man. I mean, you know, I mean, does yeah, do
I've definitely banged stuff I didn't even like.
How drunk were you for that, Breakman? Oh, silence.
I don't remember.
Good answer. All right, what else we got, Breakman?
Oh, man, too many regrets. let me see here. So, okay, besides being stupid, like, what can you do to get these people to break up? I don't know, like, put flaming piles of dog poo on the front door and blame the other one or something like that.
She called this shit poo.
Send them each separate notes, like telling them to meet at like a certain place or something, and then you know, you'll have to pay some money, but you're gonna have to hire muggers to separately attack each one of them.
That's pretty elaborate, man. Have you applied these tactics in your personal
life? No, my first tactic's the ghosting tactic. You know, so these friends, like, you know, they can keep calling me and keep calling me all they want, but I don't recognize that number anymore.
Okay. I get your vibe, man. I get what you're saying, Breakman.
So yeah, so you're gonna have to spend some good money and get them both mugged. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Let's see. Well, I mean, that's...
So let me get this straight,
Brick. If you have money, you know, because muggers can... No! You know what? You find desperate meth addicts.
And you offer them what? Like $5 or something to go, you know, do whatever?
Crap, I gotta go.
What's that? Oh, apparently he's gotta go. You're right
dog
there, Brick?
Problem.
Yeah.
My dog, somebody just showed up, so I'm going to have to go for a moment. I'll be back.
Okay.
Oh, no, the dog's just barking at nothing? Oh, never mind, she's barking at nothing.
That's awesome. Dog.
Okay, Breakman, anything else?
Anyway, so, yeah, don't start barking again. I'm not gonna believe you anymore, dog.
The dog who cried wolf. The dog who cried wolf, man.
The dog who cried wolf. Yes.
How dare you, Eric? How dare you make fun of my pronunciation of the word
wolf? Dog who cried cat.
All right, Break. What else we got?
So, so my basic advice is, you don't have to take their calls anymore. You don't have to deal with them. They're stupid. They're, you know, they'll probably stay together for well past the time they should. You know, he's probably smacking her around and she's too she loves him too much to go, even though she doesn't actually love him anymore. Like, it's just
So basically your advice is just try to break them up is what you're saying.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, ghost them.
A ghost. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, I see how you're doing.
You know, you can only deal so much with idiots, you know. You can work with them for as much as you can, but
all right.
So much yourself. So, you know, I'm just recommending your mental sanity, Littorina. That's what matters the most.
Not their
suffering.
We should rename this segment Breakman Cares, because he really does care about the people that send in the questions. Now, everybody else, you know, fuck them. Right, Breakman?
I don't know. After this question, I don't think I like her anymore. Is this one coming from Dear Breakman? Why do so many men still look at porn once they're in a very committed sexual relationship?
Ooh.
I'm not talking to her anymore. I don't she's not okay. Welcome on the show.
Yeah. So what? So what's your advice to that?
Hold on. What's the peanut gallery saying? What'd you say?
What did the peanut gallery say, Break? What's Mrs. Brakeman's take?
I don't know. I'm trying to get her to say.
Don't women look at porn too?
Of course, women look at porn.
Yeah, but not as much as men look at porn.
Oh, you would be totally surprised, Mr. Brakeman.
See, I wouldn't know what men do because I don't really identify as such.
Yeah. What do you identify as, alien, Eric?
Agender.
Ah, okay. All right, fair enough. So anyways, Brake, what advice would you give Glitterina there for
what
she
said? Let's see here. Well, I'm not talking to her. I'm going to talk to other people. Like, I'm giving warnings to men here. You got to be... I learned to be discreet with your porn.
Oh, so you're
idiots get caught, and then the rest of us suffer.
I got you.
We get messages like this because you dumbasses who get caught.
Mm. So basically, kind of hide and sneak around is what you're saying. Sneak your porn.
I mean, you have a phone. If she wants to use it, just close whatever you're looking at before you give it to her.
So what's the line between having a healthy relationship with watching porn and then it being an addiction?
Oh, that's a good question, Eric. That's definitely a good question.
Well, if you're wanking it at work like Freak's buddy, then you've got a problem.
Slagar says, unless you're married to a midget, there's always porn. What's wrong with midgets? Haven't you ever heard of midget porn?
No, he's saying if you're married to a midget, you don't need porn because you have a midget.
No, he says, I see, unless you're married to a midget, there's always mm-hmm. porn. Oh, okay, I get the logic there.
You don't need to look for midget porn. You have your own midget. I believe we're supposed to say the little people. Is that what we're supposed to say?
I little people, I think, is the last I heard.
I'm going to tiny people.
Yeah.
I'm going to get so much trouble.
I know, you really are. All right. What else
so,
we got?
Why do men look at so much porn, and why is... why does Miss Brigman look so mad at me right now? She said she's not. She said she's not mad at me.
Of course she's not mad at you.
Yeah. Don't be mad at me.
Yeah, we all love Mrs. Brakeman, some more than others. I'm not going to say who.
So now that she's gone, you dumbasses, got to learn to keep this on the down low. Jesus.
Slager says, you always say it's an addiction when you get caught. Yeah, right. Like, you're wanking it, and, like, your other half, like, catches you, like, wanking it to porn. You're like, I'm addicted. I'm sorry. You know, you give the big sob face, you know, type thing, you know, stuff like that. I see your logic, Slagar. I see how you're working. All right. What else you got, Brake? Anything else?
No, Slagar's correct. And it's only an addiction when you get caught, you know? like most people, most alcoholics, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I do
is
not.
There, is there a Wankers Anonymous?
I don't know how they'd pull that off. Is that like a glory hole?
He said, "Pull it off." They'd definitely be pulling something, Brakeman.
Yes, pulling on something. You know, I just learned out glory hole is actually. We were watching some show on Netflix about glass blowing, and apparently, glory hole is something that they use in glass blowing. So I couldn't help
but the term comes from that.
About a glory hole.
I'm wondering if I should take this call on the air. I'm getting a phone call here. What is this? This is a local number.
I hope it's not spam.
Do you guys want me to take it?
See, you gotta learn to watch porn that she likes too, so you can get her to look at it with you.
That's yeah, what kind of porn does she like? Like gay men or what? You know what I'm saying?
I take that advice back.
Like, what kind of porn do... That's an interesting question we should ask for the audience. What type of porn, for all the hundreds of thousands of women listeners we have out there, what type of porn do women like? That's a very interesting question. I wouldn't mind to hear
well,
the answer to
that. Well, that depends on whether or not they're straight or not.
Yeah.
Why does that matter?
It doesn't matter at all. I'm just curious to know what type of porn women watch. That's it. You know,
depending how straight you are, you might only be interested in watching straight porn.
I disagree with that, Eric, because I
a lot of studies. I'm sorry, Eric.
I was gonna say I'm as straight as can be, and I love watching lesbian porn. You know, and if I happen to come across
gay... Because it's marketed towards men, that's why.
Yeah, and if I happen to come across gay porn, I'm not like all like, ooh, yeah. You know, I just move on to something that I'm more interested in. That's it, you know?
And I have seen a lot of studies where apparently straight women are into lesbian porn.
Yeah.
And some straight women are into gay porn, apparently, too.
Yeah, no, I've heard that, too. I'm genuinely curious. If you're a female listener of RP Grinders, which... I don't know how many of those we have out there. I'm sure we have.
Mrs. Bregman's not into porn. She just liked me to say that.
Okay. Yeah, she's definitely not. But if she was, I mean, I know a few people that would be interested in purchasing that piece of work. Anyways,
What piece of work? What are you talking about, Frank? Are you saying you have some porn of your own?
I am not saying anything out there, man. I'm just saying.
I believe everybody, Frank just confessed that he has his own porn.
I may or may not have one or two porn videos out there. I'm not going to say the titles or anything like that. I'm just saying.
We're getting closer and closer to the reasoning behind Frank Branches as a name.
How dare you?
Aren't we?
Yeah, we actually... Eric, you're not too far from the truth, but I will tell that story one day. Slagar says, one of the most counted porn searches is... Slagar. Jesus, Slagar.
Is that people are looking for Slagar porn?
I'm wondering.
Is he saying he's a porn star, or is that a type of porn that I've just never heard of?
I think he's saying he's a porn star. I'm going to have to check that out.
I'm afraid to Google it now.
Or maybe he's gone to one too many forums.
I think that's the bear porn, type of porn out there. Frank, Wyland, you son of a bitch.
I would expect that from Freak, but he's not here.
I know. For some reason, Freak isn't here. And I
start early today, so.
Yeah.
You know, he usually doesn't show up until probably around the time we're done with the news or finishing up with the news.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
He's missing the greatest segment ever.
He really is, man. I don't know how this came about, but that's the type of work that you get out of Breakman in his Dear Breakman. So make sure you send Breakman questions to RP Grinders. They can be sexually awkward questions, or they can be anything. Ask Breakman anything.
Does anybody like watch the porn and when somebody shows up, like, what do you guys think of this? Just keep watching it, but like, see what everybody's opinion is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't stop what you're doing either. Just keep going.
Don't stop what you're doing. Oh man. Okay, guys, let's. I think it's time to move on from this week's Dear Breakman segment.
What happened?
Exactly. What happened to this show, man? All right, let's move on. Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Breakman.
Mostly Final Fantasy 15.
Okay. Anything?
I'm not too far. I'm just mostly fighting monsters. I pushed a little farther to the second chapter, but I don't know how long that second chapter is or anything, but okay. Mostly like
sport. You might just be able to beat me, because I don't know when I'll be able to play it.
Yeah. You'll definitely beat me. I haven't even started Final Fantasy 15, and I think I have it on the Xbox, actually. Mm-hmm. I wish it was one of those deals.
Why are you waiting so long? What's wrong, Frank?
There's one game I forgot to put in what I've been playing.
Oh, go ahead, man. Go for it. I don't know, Break, to answer your questions. Like, the method to my madness in playing video games is random. Like, I've been playing Spider-Man, right? I finally finished it today. and I don't know, man. Like, I just pick games on a whim, man. Like, shit that I, you know... I'm very close to getting my PlayStation collection done. Then I got to start in on my Xbox collection. And then if I get a second before all the other systems come out, then I got to do the Switch games that I got. I have very few Switch games, but, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. How dare you, Breakman?
What did I do?
I really don't want to exile anybody on the show today, but you guys are making it really hard. Wyland almost got it, but I don't know. I'll give Wyland a pass because he says a lot of good things in chat, and Slagar never gets exiled. I don't think I've ever exiled Slagar even once. All right.
So did you Google Slagar yet? See what happens?
I have not. I have not. I bet you it's a bunch of bear porn. I'm not talking like the animal bear, just like a big burly, you know, hairy guy, you know, type deal. All right. I don't know if Sligard's big and burly and hairy. I have no idea. But
so you're saying he's a, what's the other, a twink. You're saying he's a twink, not a bear.
That's not what I'm saying, man.
Oh.
At all. At all. Okay. Eric, what have you been playing, my friend?
I've been playing a lot. But I finished all the Dark Souls 2 trophies, so I got the platinum for that.
Jesus, Eric, you're a fucking video game warrior, dude. I'm trying to get the platinum on Spider-Man. There's no way I'm going to get it, dude. No fucking way.
And then I decided I'd play Horizon Zero Dawn. And while I'm enjoying it a little. I mean, I think normal difficulty is mislabeled because it's too difficult, in my opinion. And comparatively to story mode, where I feel it's too easy. So I might just ratchet it up to easy difficulty to see how that is.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of the same problems a lot of the other open world games have. It's just there's too much junk to do, and a lot of it's garbage.
Yeah. It's a good game, though.
But, like, sure. I also feel like the game's incredibly dated because it feels like I'm playing. It feels like I'm playing KOTOR, only this is a current gen game with current gen visuals, but it feels so old.
Yeah, the mechanics are definitely on the. They feel like a throwback more than old school to me, but I love it. I think it's really good. Freak 5 just joined us. He says that is a beautiful game. Horizon.
I don't think it's a bad game. I just think it's overrated. I think people have given it more credit than it deserves.
Yeah. Breakman,
it's sitting like at a 7 in my opinion right now. So who knows if it will get better. Yeah.
I don't know. I played a little.
I feel like because on normal, you do too little damage, and the enemies are able to do too much to you, and there's no sense of like progression of strength, at least at the point that I am in the game.
Because
you can get things that make your spear do more damage, through quests. But like, I don't think you can actually upgrade the spear at any point. I think you just get a better spear later, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like you're supposed to use bow and arrows more often than not, because you can almost always make arrows because you're almost always picking up all the branches necessary to make them, as well as the metal for the arrow tips. But yeah. I wonder when I can start making explosive arrows, because I got flyer arrows and that's all I really have.
Okay. That's fair enough, Eric.
Other than that, I've been playing a little bit more Seven Scarlet, but I also played Puyo Puyo 2, Shinobi, and Fantasy Zone, the Sega Aegis line for the Switch, for the review. I submitted my reviews, but they haven't been uploaded yet, but I'm wondering whether or not SNG's at PAX East right now.
Yeah, probably. Not. Fantasy Zone, is that the comic book game, Eric?
Or
is
no, that that's Comic Zone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just got a mix up.
Fantasy Zone is the cute 'em up shoot 'em up.
Okay, now I know which one you're talking about. Looks like you paid Yakuza 3, too.
Yeah, I played Yakuza 3 Remastered because I got code for all three of them.
Ooh,
which
nice.
Is weird because, like, they give you the code for the bundle, but the only game that you're actually able to download from your download list from redeeming that code is 3, and then you have to go into the store to download 4 and 5.
That's weird. That's kind of weird. I want to get that whole physical set with the. They have a really nice collector's edition of those two games.
It's a weird box set that has the PS3 boxes from the PS3 releases for some odd reason. But if you take that out, you see a little image of Majima inside the case.
Yeah, yeah. Goro Majima? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His story is interesting from Zero. It's really, really fun.
But, like, 3's intro is really long because, like, it's slow because you have to deal with the kids, and the game hasn't really started yet for me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
In fact, we're technically in a flashback because, like, the game starts with, like, some dude getting shot, and then it cuts to, well, this, well, this is the stuff that led up to that point.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how far back it went and whether how far that in the story that the intro was, but I'm guessing it's kind of like one of the penultimate chapters of the game.
Well, zero is before everything, apparently, so I don't know how far.
I'm talking about the chapters in 3.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay. So it's like it's like one of those deals where like it takes you to a further point, then you have to go to the previous point and get up to that that point. Then is what you're saying. All right. Anything else, Eric?
That's it. That's all I've been playing. I saw a lot of movies though, which I'll be doing reviews of when we get to the reviews.
Okay. I have been playing a little bit of MPQ and Spider-Man, which you just mentioned reviews, so why don't we get into those?
RP Grinders reviews.
Okay, I'm going to start, Eric, and then I'll let you go, because you got a plethora of reviews. I'm going to be reviewing Spider-Man, as I mentioned. I beat it right a couple hours before we started the show. I went through a little bit of Spider-Man and after I did my prep work for the show. But I finally beat the main quest. And Spider-Man is an excellent game in almost every facet. It has the best of RPG elements in it, with upgrading your suit, getting different suits, different powers that you can interchange as you wish, as you progress. The missions are fun. The tackling of side missions is fun. I mean, there is so much to do in this. It's kind of a contained open world. It's basically New York City with a very, very good rendition of New York City, including Radio Music City Hall, the Chrysler Building, I mean, it's a fantastic rendering of New York City. It couldn't have been much better. I don't think I've seen New York look better than what it has in this game. It is visually gorgeous. I think this game is the pinnacle of visuals that I've seen in a video game. I know the PS5 is going to be great and the new Xbox is going to be good. But this is as good as it gets visually.
I think Insomniac is doing another Spider-Man game for the PS5.
They definitely are, and they definitely should. So, sorry about that audio issue, guys. That's okay. It is a fantastic game in almost every respect. The one thing I do say is that some of the smaller side missions can be a tad repetitive, but it's a very minor nitpick to this game. The story is great, the story and plot. The web slinging is absolutely fantastic, and
think some of the web powers are like they sound neat in concept, but I feel like Web Blossom pretty much destroys everything else out in usefulness, because you could just web everybody to death with that and just wait for the charge up again.
No, you mean, what do you mean? The web...
the Web Blossom ability.
Oh, like the web bombs that you throw on the ground and it sticks to all the...
No, it's called the Web Blossom. It is basically Spider-Man's imitation of that Blossom maneuver that was pulled off in the last Starfighter.
I don't think
you
I've
never
ever
used it.
No, I don't think I ever used it.
It's one of the first ones you can get. I'm surprised you didn't use it.
No, I don't think I ever. I don't even know what that move is. Is it the one where like you jump up in the air and you web everything around you type thing?
It's that.
Yeah, I didn't use it because it seemed kind of impractical to me. Every time I used it, I like missed like 3 or 4, people.
You have to use it at crowds.
Yeah. I used the web bombs instead. That was a little bit easier. So. Freak Pie says, is that, if that is Frank's later work, where is his early work? And boy, how dare you guys. Breakman, do we have you back? Just making sure you're back. No? Okay. It's a great game. I am definitely going to give it a 9 0.5 out of 10. I think it's an excellent game. I think everybody should play it.
You play the DLC.
I didn't play the DLC, but I've seen enough this game to know that it's a great game, and Insomniac is at the top of their powers with this game. I am very impressed what they did with the Spider-Man property. They're an impressive studio to begin with, and there's a reason why Sony bought them. And they did a fantastic job with Spider-Man in every respect, every regard. Kudos to that entire team, because it is a fantastic game that should be played by any and everybody. It's a great game. Go out and get it.
Also, pick up Ratchet and Clank.
Yes, Ratchet and Clank is a precursor to this game, and you can see a lot of the work that went into Ratchet and Clank kind of transferred very easily over to Spider-Man. So I highly recommend it. Give it a 9.5 out of 10. It's almost a perfect game, other than some very, very minor flaws. And it's a great pickup. I think you can get it for like $20-25 with the DLC now. So make sure you pick it up. It's a great game. So we need more games like that. Slagar's back. Welcome back, man. Okay. Eric, you have a plethora of reviews for us.
You know, Freak jokes about meteor killing dinosaurs, but that's actually scientifically true. A meteor did kill the dinosaurs.
No, he knows that. He said that, that the tablets were destroyed when the meteor killed the dinosaurs. All right. You got some reviews, Eric.
I got reviews of Annabelle Comes Home, Birds of Prey, Dora the Lost City Gold, Ready or Not, and Ride Your Wave. So which one should I start with?
All right, Eric, go ahead with your review. Sorry for the audio cut in there, some audio issues. So if you're listening on archives, hopefully that won't happen again. All right, Eric, you're up with your review of Annabelle.
So Annabelle Home Comes Home is the sequel to Annabelle, which takes place after Annabelle the Beginning, which is the second movie. And it's about how the Warrens finally get Annabelle and put it in the house and lock it up and use holy water and prayer to strengthen this whatever seals in the glass that keeps evil spirits at bay.
Oh, of course, that's what it takes.
Yeah, it's holy water and words. Holy water and words, yeah.
Anyways, one of the babysitters of the daughter, her friend wants to, I guess, find a way to communicate with her dad because her dad died in the car accident that the Warrens were, they didn't witness it, but they were on the road that it happened on. The movie implies this. Because it says a year later, so and it matches up with the dates that we hear later in the movie. They mentioned passing, so she's looking at all their stuff because she hears that their date they deal with undead spirits and stuff like that, and she was looking for something that she might be able to use to communicate with him. But she messes with a bunch of stuff and basically unlocks the door to Annabelle's glass case, and that's when all the crazy stuff starts happening, because like Annabelle is not a demon possessed doll. It is rather an artifact of evil that attracts demonic spirits and the like. So basically it got every one of the spirits that was possessing a cursed object, or at least was attracting other cursed spirits, and basically just makes them agitated. So a bunch of crazy shit was happening at the house when the Warrens had to go away to do another case. And I'm wondering if the time... I think The Conjuring 2 takes place before this movie, but I'm not sure, because it could be possible that be on... Or maybe The Conjuring 3 is going on, and that's probably what they're going to do, like... Like they're doing whatever's going on in that movie. Yeah. And we'll get that movie later.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, so what do you give an Annabelle Comes Home, Eric?
It was definitely less violent than Annabelle at the beginning. But in fact it wasn't very bloody at all. There's a bunch of fake out blood scenes, but ends up not being anything.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, I really liked the sequel to Annabelle, but this sequel was like, did it seem to you that the stakes were not that high in this one?
Yeah, because we know what happens to the doll; it stays in there.
yeah, it was like there, it was kind of a nothing movie. You know, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad movie. I just thought it was very basic and, you know, just kind of by the numbers, I guess.
Now I'm more interested in that samurai suit that's cursed.
Yeah.
Like, will I have a movie about that?
Yeah, I hope. I hope we do. I hope it's one of those, or like they do a series, like sort of like Friday the 13th, the series, but like do all the different cursed items in the what you call it, you know, the Warren's war chest of, you know, cursed items. So what do you give an Annabelle Comes Home, Eric?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's above average. But like I said, it just, there was really no, you know, nothing that, you know, you never felt really in danger for any of the characters in that movie. All right, so what do you got next, Eric?
We got Birds of Prey next.
All right, can you do it spoiler-free, because I haven't
seen it. Yeah, I mean, first of all, this movie, I think, is mislabeled, because it is a Harlequin movie. Birds of Prey is a concept that does not get introduced until the very end of the movie.
Yeah, they renamed it Harlequin. At first it was the Emancipation of One Harlequin, Birds of Prey, yeah, or something like that, and they shortened it to Harlequin, Birds of Prey.
This is more like Birds of Prey, Dawn of Justice, so it's like a prequel to the next Birds of Prey movie, probably.
Yeah, Weiland said he liked it. So
it was a good movie. And it's kind of like, the best way I can say to describe it is it's kind of like DC's version of Deadpool in terms of its atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I could see that.
And I think Ewan McGregor did a good job as the Black Mask, although I think they kind of shorthand his character a little bit, because they could have probably done a little bit more with him.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So it had a good villain. What's the plot loosely, Eric?
She breaks up with the Joker by causing a commotion, and that sends a signal to everybody that she's ever given grievance to, so she's got a price on her head.
Oh, okay.
And right. he and Black Mask wants his diamond that has an encryption on it that can lead him to this fortune of this mafia boss that he's been looking for a long time.
Okay.
And it's basically a game of let's find the diamond.
All right, that's fun. Okay, so what are you giving Birds of Prey, Eric?
I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8 out of 10. Okay, that's a very high score. What else is on your review docket?
Dora and the Lost City of Gold, which is such a weird, weird movie.
Yeah, it is, but it's a fun movie. I saw this movie as well, Eric.
It's like, do you want Indiana Jones, but like totally off the walls, but for kids?
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's
for
what
sure.
This movie is, basically. It starts with her and Diego being 6. And then Diego has to go back to the city. And I think that matches up with the end of the show, the cartoon.
Yeah,
for kids.
Yeah.
But basically 10 years later, and they send her to high school because she grew up weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And her parents are, like, doing a mission, and, like, because Dora went on an adventure and basically almost got killed.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, you're not ready for what we're about to do, so we're just going to send you to live with your cousin for a bit.
Yeah, it's a fun movie, Eric.
And it's like a fish out of water story, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of had more fun than what I thought was possible with that movie. I don't know.
If you watch it high, you'll probably enjoy it more.
Maybe that's where
there's a scene where they all get high.
That, yes, there is. And you're probably right, Eric. I think I might have been inebriated at that point. Wyland, that's an excellent statue of a scorpion for sure. It's kind of cool. I don't have room for it, but looks cool. All right, so what are you giving Dora and the Lost City of Gold, Eric?
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay, above average. I see that. I can see that. All right.
Ready or Not, on the other hand.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
It is a great movie.
Ooh, here we go.
So I'm just going to tell you the score now. It's 8.5.
Okay.
And it's about a woman who's getting married to a guy who's a part of this rich family, but the rich family's rich because they did something not great with a certain demon.
Yeah. I've seen this movie too, Eric. I kind of liked it too. That's with Margot Robbie as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So 8.5 for Ready or Not. Anything you want to say about Ready or Not before you move to your last review?
It gets really, really bloody at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good
movie.
But
who directed Ready or Not? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I can look that up while you do your next review.
But Ride Your Wave is one of the latest of Masaki Yuasa's movies. He's an animator. He didn't write the story, but you can tell it's his animation style though, because like he's at like one of three styles that I'll use in any given movie. And if you've seen Devilman Crybaby, you'll know it's him, because it's basically that art style for this film. But it's about a surfer girl who is in college and starting up college, and she's moving out on her own. But she gets rescued by a firefighter because her apartment burns down because of some jackholes that set off some fireworks. But okay. She gets to know him through that experience, and then they fall in love, and then he dies, and she's trying to get over it, and then something weird happens. That's all I'll say with this without spoiling the story too much. But it's basically a movie about finding love and getting over lost love.
Okay, so what do you never said your score for Ready or Not? I don't think, Eric.
No, I did 8.5.
Oh, okay. And it was directed by Matt Bertinelli Olpin and Tyler Gillette.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar to me either. All right. So, what are you giving your last review? Ride Your Wave.
Yeah, it's just too bad movies like Ride Your Wave only have usually one day events at theaters. Animation needs more billing, I think. Like, yeah. Foreign animation, like Japanese animation or whatever.
Well,
they need bigger and larger time slots.
If Trump had his way, all foreign movies would be banned, I feel.
Yeah, because I heard him complain about Parasite because it's in Korean.
Yeah, he complained.
I can't read English, so man.
Yeah, yeah. Freak 5 says he saw...
This movie is also... At least until the retail release comes out. But, like, this one was subtitle only. But I'm going to give this movie a 9.5 because it was that good.
Wow, Ride Your Wave. I'm going to have to check it out if you give it a 9.5. Slager was commenting that you're actually a really good critic, Eric. So if you give something an 8 or above, you know that the movie's going to be pretty good. At least it's a good indication. But Ride Your Wave. I don't think you've ever given a movie a 10. I don't think, Eric. I think you've given certain video games a 10, but I don't think I've ever heard you give a movie a 10. So that's high praise, man. 9.5.
Oh, yeah. Break, have you seen Dark Fate yet? You can rent it now.
I love Dark Fate. I thought it was pretty good return to form for that franchise. It's a shame it didn't do better at the box office. Do you see it yet, Break? Do we have Break? Break,
I think we lost him.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh
okay. He's there. He's just like creeps through in the shadows. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was a plethora of reviews from you, Eric. And you said you almost had one more review, so that's cool. Mm. All right, no heist. And do you guys have a heistcapade this
next
week?
I'll have three or four to make up for it. That's what. Because I plan on watching The Lighthouse and Midsommar and the Dragon Quest movie and the New Kuni, maybe.
Yeah. Freak 5 kind of sums up Terminator Dark Fate in this way. He says, time travel aspects didn't piss me off too much. Yeah, see, there's always problems with time travel movies, Freak 5, that always piss people off, man. It's just the way that it goes. All right, anybody have a heistcapade? Breakman, do you have a heistcapade?
I was going to ask if either of you watched the Dragon Quest movie yet.
I have not. I don't have Netflix, so I can't really.
I use my brother's account.
Okay, did you see it, Eric?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's what I said. I didn't get the chance to actually watch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I will eventually, break for sure, because I love Dragon Quest, so, you know. Break is hiding from the train, Freak 5 says.
would be too if you were me.
Oh, God, the trains, man. Like, why do they even exist? Like, I still don't understand that to this day. It's the year 2020, and we still have old-ass fucking trains from, like, the 1902 era. So weird. So weird. Didn't finish.
Yeah, nothing like Japan's trains.
Yeah, I know. No bullet trains.
I mean, and they still have old-ass trains, too, but they also have... You know, modern ones.
Yeah. Slagar says he didn't finish Expanse or The Witcher yet. Now he's on Picard, Better Call Saul, Hunters. He needs more time. Yeah, it gets that way, Slagar. It gets a little bit overwhelming. If anybody has Shudder, you should check out Deadlands.
Oh, yeah. Next week, Dives Out comes out on DVD and digital.
Yeah. Freak 5 says Bill and Ted got the time travel right. I agree, Freak 5. I think that's one of the greatest time travel movies of all time. That and Triangle and another movie called Time Crimes. Time Crimes is a fantastic movie. I love Time Crimes. So it does.
I've never heard of Triangle or Time Crimes.
Oh, God. They're both great movies, man. They're basically the same movie, but in like one's on a ship and one's not on a ship. But they're Time Crimes is a
Triangle, I'm guessing Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Time Crimes is a foreign movie, but it's an excellent movie, man. It is.
That definitely sounds like a British movie.
Yeah. No, Time Crimes is oof, man. Time Crimes is a great movie.
The title sounds British, is what I mean.
I think Time Crimes is probably the greatest time travel movie other than Terminator I've ever seen. Like it is, it's really, really good. So all right, Breakman, I don't think you said you had a heistcapade. Did you have a heistcapade, no. Eric? Eric, did you have a heistcapade?
No.
Okay, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
Breakman, you are up. You're Stinko of the Week.
You go ahead and say it, because we already know what it is.
No, I've got my own, and it's a doozy. So go right ahead, Breakman.
What's yours?
I'll tell you. You want me to tell? You want me to go first, Breakman?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. This might be a little bit of a discussion.
I'm surprised. I thought you would have the same one as I did.
No, mine takes precedence because it's kind of a personal one.
Sorry.
It does involve politics in a way, so I'll go ahead and discuss it. But basically, my brother-in-law was picked up by ICE and is probably going to be deported. Now, this is a guy who's worked super hard since he's been in this country, 20 years, never been in trouble for anything. He did have one accident one time where he wasn't drunk. He wasn't, you know, taking drugs or anything like that. It was just an accident. And the other person, you know, got hurt, and she really didn't even want to go to the hospital at all, but he made her go to the hospital. So that tells you everything you really need to know about that, this guy, an illegal immigrant that, you know, got in an accident and against all odds, you know, she gave him a pass to not do anything. And he insisted that she went to the hospital. And so him getting picked up by ICE and being deported most likely on Monday is unacceptable in my view, especially knowing the guy, knowing his character, knowing the things that he's done while he's here. I just think this is not the way that this United States should be. You know, if you're in this country and
I'd rather deport the person who's trying to deport him.
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Deport everybody responsible for that.
I totally agree with you, Eric. It's a shame because he has a son here, and this is separating a kid from their father that has done really nothing wrong other than be here and work hard. You know, so we've talked about this before, Breakman. It's I think it's a travesty. It's mm-hmm. something that it's a misnomer that if you deport everybody, this country is just going to be great somehow. When in reality, this country was built on the backs of slaves, on the backs of immigrants, whether they were Irish, Italian, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese. Like this country is supposed to be a melting pot, and it's because of people like my brother-in-law that worked really hard to do one of the hardest jobs you could possibly do in doing house siding and roofing and stuff like that. Like, it's one of the most difficult jobs that you can think of. And I think it's a travesty that he gets picked up not doing anything wrong and is potentially going to be sent back. And my poor nephew is not going to have a dad now because this country doesn't have a clear path to citizenship that works mm-hmm. for everybody. And it's sad.
So I want to know, like, did he get a snitch on him or something?
The details are sketchy, Eric, but I'm guessing it's a snitch because he was driving and he got pulled over by an ICE. To me, it's unclear whether it was police or ICE, but I'm guessing ICE because the police wouldn't have done anything but give him a ticket. Let's say he was speeding, which I don't. Mm-hmm. He says he was doing nothing wrong. He wasn't speeding. And I believe him because I've known this guy for, you know, years and years. And
unless they made a speed trap,
even if they did, the cops would just give him a ticket and he'd be on his way. They're not going to call ICE. They're not going to do any of that. So it leads me to believe that it was an undercover ICE agent. And I know that they've been doing raids here in Denver. So details are still sketchy. I'm still getting details, you know, up to this point. But it's a referendum on where we want to be in this country. You know, do we want to be the country that welcomes people in, or do we want to be isolationist and say, fuck everybody else. Let's build 100-foot walls around the entire United States. Nobody gets in or out, and you have guards at every fucking station and shoot anybody on sight. I think that's where we're headed to.
And next sad. After that, it'll be curfews, you know, stuff yeah. like that shit.
Curfews, and then if you're out after curfews, you know,
nobody hears from you again.
Yeah, nobody hears from you because they shoot you in the street and they put you in a mass grave because that's basically where we're headed. I saw a bill
stealing right from King Jong's playbook.
Yep, King Jong Il's playbook. It's how it is, man. And look. Somebody with no record, no intent of harming anybody else, and does nothing but hard work in this country, I'd say that's a pretty good citizen. Don't you think, Breakman? I mean, that's kind of the definition of being a good citizen is minding your own business, working hard, making money for your family, taking care of your kids. And it kind of chokes me up. I'm sorry, guys. It's kind of an emotional thing, you know, and it's terrible, and I'm going to use every power I have to make sure that that he doesn't get deported. But if he does, then I'm going to, you know, push very hard for Bernie Sanders' presidency because he's the only guy that's willing to look at these things and maybe change a lot for the better. You know, maybe a solid path to citizenship and, you know, go from there. I think it's a travesty, and I think it's it's something that could totally be avoided. Now there's a little boy that, you know, is not going to have his dad around because, you know, people in power, people in the government decide, you know what, these people aren't worthy of living in this country, and we're going to send you back to a war-torn fucking piece of shit country that people are trying to get away from for this very fucking reason. It's I don't know. I don't even know what to say, but, you know, what can you do? What can you say or do to change the situation other than what we do on the show and speak out. You know, it's everybody knows these people. Brake, I'm sure you know a few people that, you know, work really hard, don't have the status as other people in this country, and they do pay taxes regardless of, you know, what anybody thinks. They might, I mean, anytime they go in a store and purchase something, you know, they pay taxes. They're, you know, if they have an employer that gives them checks, which all of them do, or most of them should, then they get taxed there too, but they get none of the benefits. So I don't understand the issue. So that's definitely my stinko of the week, Brake Man. And, you know, it's an emotional one for me, but, you know, it had to be said. And, it's just a sad, sad thing, man. Like to see my nephew, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the emotional reunions with people that were separated at the border and stuff like that, which are few and far between. But imagine somebody ripping a kid away from their dad or mom, or vice versa, their mom or dad from the kid. Imagine the emotional trauma on that kid. Nobody ever thinks of the consequences for the kids, but that's definitely what's happening. And I don't want to hear any of this bullshit about, well, they should just move back to their country and, you know, all this shit, because to be honest with you, that's fucking bullshit. All right. They came to this country because it's supposedly the land of opportunity. It's not the land of, you know, stop and frisk and go back to your country. You know, it's supposed to be for everybody. And right now it seems like it's nobody's country, and that's a shame. So that's where I'll leave that. Brake Man, you're up next. Your stinko of the week. Do we have you, Brake? Did we lose Brake? What the hell's going on here, man?
There's my stinko. It's constant in and out.
Yeah, let me add Brake Man back to the conversation. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Jesus Christ. Brake Man, sorry, I didn't realize that you weren't in.
Note to self, let's buy some new die rolls so we can actually make good saving throws.
Yeah, exactly. I was just explaining the horrible situation with my brother-in-law and, you know, how much it sucks and how this country should really really think about that, those policies, and think better of people from different countries. So, all right, Brake Man, you're up.
Okay, I get that. All sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear all that.
No, it's all good, man. I mean, I'm going to do what I can, you know. There's not much I can do, but talk, you know. It's what I do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, first thing that goes this freaking computer, which I thought I'd solved the problem. I really did. And, like, it'd gone, like, a month without doing this, and now last couple of weeks is doing it every few minutes, it seems like.
Yeah. So, is there some forum you could get to, Brake Man, to...
Yeah, I've been looking at stuff like that. I've been installing different drivers and uninstalling, you know, all the other happy shit. Anyway, my other stinko goes to obviously what happened with politics and another huge power grab by you know who.
What are you speaking specifically of, Brake Man? Because I lose track.
No, there's a few. No, you're right. There's a few, but interfering in a court trial. For instance.
Oh, and the Roger Stone thing. Yes. Yes. I would have put that as my stinko, but I had obviously a different type of stinko.
Yeah, that's week. That's why I thought like that was your thing. I didn't know you were going through.
Yeah. This is very disturbing. Roger Stone ended up getting 40 months, which is, I mean, that's a significant sentence. Roger Stone's a piece of shit.
I don't think it's good enough.
No, I don't either. I don't either, Brake Man. I think he should have been in there at least seven years. But, you know, Trump intervened. He basically made it, you know, not a 7 to 9 year sentence. It was, you know, I think 40 was the max, which he gave him, which was awesome. But I don't know. I just think how long till he's pardoned is my question, Brake Man.
I don't know. I'm scared about things like that. Like he's just... Like we said, ever since the acquittal, just...
Well, he pardoned a bunch of pieces of shit, man. Like he,
I know.
He, like, Blagojevich was commuted his sentence, which he was on TV, like, left and right, saying he was a Trumpocrat and he did nothing wrong. And, I mean, just the brazen way that Trump is doing this is just fucking weird, man. It's just weird.
And he went on TV and announced he's like the number one cop. Like, no, you fucking aren't, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he is not the chief law enforcement officer, nor should he ever even want to be the chief law enforcement. Mm-mm. He's basically a king at this point, Breakman. I mean,
that's what he sees himself as, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the DNC is doing him a huge favor by trying to sabotage Sanders' presidency, but, you know, I don't know what else.
I wonder how much of that is because of Russian influence.
None.
We know they're like hacking their systems. No, Breakman.
They're
attempting. That doesn't mean they actually have.
That's a narrative that the mainstream media wants to feed us, Breakman. I think about it all the time, and maybe when our guest comes on in about a half an hour, we can ask him about this.
The Russians are interfering with our elections. That's a fact.
Here's the thing, Breakman. It is a fact they tried, right? They didn't switch any of the votes in the polls. You know, they might have tried to influence people, but how far does that influence really go? I mean, nobody can really tell.
For instance, we can kind of tell because look what happened with Bloomberg. Like 2 weeks ago, nobody had ever really heard of him. He pumped hundreds of million dollars in advertisement, and all of a sudden he has enough support to be a part of the debate.
Well, yeah.
So that's money, and so advertising absolutely does influence the population.
It does, absolutely does. But here's the thing: the way that the democracy should work, Breakman, is the way that it worked at the Nevada debate. Okay, I'll get into it in a bit, but I want to finish your. I want you to finish your stinko break because it's important.
Just let's see how many pieces of shit we can, you know, not only let go free and just say how they're getting a raw deal and they deserve better. And this is, you know, this is everybody else against us. Like they're attacking us.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And he replaced another person who he considered not loyal with somebody completely inept to do the underqualified, not even. He's never even done anything remotely close to the job he's just been given.
Yeah, he's going to continue doing this until we just... But I have a feeling, Breakman, the way that the DNC is, like, doing its fuckery in the caucuses and all kinds of shit, like, we're going to have another 4 years of Trump. If it's not Bernie, we're getting another 4 years of Trump, man. It's a guarantee. Because look at all the candidates, right? Just look at every single one of them. They all pull... about even with Trump or less than Trump. Buttigieg loses to Trump. Warren is, it depends on what poll you look at, but it's pretty much even, right? Which if it ends up even, Trump will eat her lunch and hand it to her in a bag after he throws it up in that bag. I mean, there's so much baggage with Warren and especially Bloomberg. Bloomberg is the worst of the bunch. Him and Biden are the absolute worst of the bunch. And I don't see anybody other than Sanders that can really weather the storm of Trump and basically, you know, parry every talking point that Trump tries to use against him. It's not, you know, I don't know. Slagar says, except it wasn't mainstream media that said it.
About
the Russian interference type stuff, man. It definitely was mainstream media, but I know what Slagar's getting at there. But
our intelligence agencies reported it and stuff that they are actively interfering. And like I said, they've done what they can to change votes and have failed at it, but they haven't failed at changing opinions and spreading doubt.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a cure to that solution, but I hope the DNC doesn't get in the way of it. Weiland says, "You lying dog face pony soldier, Joe." Quote: "I was a caucus Biden." Yeah, Biden's a disaster, Weiland. And
no, he was a cock something at least.
Yeah,
he is the creepy uncle.
He's like. Up until Bloomberg got in the race, he was the worst candidate by far, man. Like, I couldn't think of anybody worse to go up against Trump other than Bloomberg. And now, like you said, he bought hundreds of millions of dollars to get him up to 15% in the polls. But if you look at the latest polls, especially after. Well, I'll get to it in my Sweeto. Eric, do you have a Stinko?
Not really.
Okay. Do you have a Sweeto, Eric?
And back to the Stinkos. Like, just, I mean, for him to pardon Lavoya, fucking fuck that guy, Vitch, because like he was set torn from his family and stuff like that. To say shit like that. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, every single person who is in prison has families they're removed from. Like, that's just...
It's out of touch, is what you're trying to get at. And I don't know what to say about it.
Out of touch with reality.
Yeah. Weiland says, every time he opens his mouth, it's a gift. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to Biden talk, man, it's just... It's a gift to every other candidate. Like, he's... He's losing steam fast, man. I wouldn't if Bernie takes it. Tomorrow is the Nevada caucus. I'm expecting Bernie to win again. So that'll be three states in a row, and then we move on to South Carolina. If Biden loses South Carolina, it's game over. Biden is done. Sanders is going to be the nominee, man. I don't see anybody doing better than Bernie in the Super Tuesday states, especially. But if Bernie can take South Carolina, that will destroy the notion that Biden is electable. He is not electable. He's hardly ever won anything in his life other than like one or two Senate terms, and he was handpicked by the establishment for Obama. He's tried to run for presidency now three times, and each time he fucking does the same thing. He starts out strong, and he opens his mouth like Weiland says, and he falls flat on his fucking face. So, yeah, there you go. Eric, do you have a Sweeto?
Not really, no.
Breakman, your Sweeto of the week.
Ah, mine goes to the return of my absolute favorite cartoon show, as the Clone Wars is now back with new episodes.
Yeah. Weiland says he's going to watch it right after this show. So stick around, Weiland, because we got a heck of an interview coming up in 20 minutes.
I guess I kind of have a Sweeto, but okay. The Mega Man Zero ZX collections next week.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's a good sweet old man. All right, Breakman, expand on your Clone Wars, man. You excited? Did we lose Breakman again? Jesus Christ, we did lose Breakman again. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get him back on. It's that stupid computer of his. He keeps on.
It's controlled by the dark side.
Yeah, apparently, man. It's fucking weird. I'm trying to get him back on, man. We
it's a cursed object. Let's send it to the Warrens.
Yeah. Do we got you back?
Oh,
Break?
Wait, they're dead.
I think so. I don't know. I'm just goddamn.
I was just asked.
Annabelle's possessed your.
I think Breakman's computer is a Warren demonic possessed computer that needs to be in the Warren collection. Damn. Man. Bernie says, what about this?
Did I mention this was one of my Stinkos?
Yeah, you did. You're Sweeto, man. What are you excited about mostly for Clone Wars? That it's coming to the end?
How dare you, Star Wars Christmas back. Special, Bernie.
Hold on, I was going to...
Unfortunately, they're only doing like the one episode at a time. Like, I hate that because I want to binge. But...
They do that with Deadlands on Shudder, man. And it's like, I agree. I want to see all the motherfuckers at once, man. Yeah. Let's see. Bernie says Star Wars Christmas special. How about that, Breakman?
No, thank you.
No, she brings that up because we started watching that last night because I wanted her to see the what everybody talks about. Slagar's anti-binge. It depends on the show, Slagar. Mostly I'm binge. I want to see them all, yeah. But...
I still need to catch up, so I'm probably going to have to binge at that point.
Yeah. Weiland says his Sweeto is that he got tickets for Final Combat before it completely sold out. General Audience and Last Chance Qualifiers both sold out. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'd watch Picard if I didn't have to sign up to CBS Access.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What is that, $5 a month or something? Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I am really irritated with the so many services there are. Like, there's Apple, and CBS has their own, and Amazon has their own. Like, there's shows that every one of these things has at least one show I want to watch, but just not. He says Slugger.
Not worth the price, man, for one show.
Yeah, that's how I agree. Like, I don't want to spend a lot of money for just one show.
I got
Disney. It's not a lot of money, but adds up.
Yeah. You know, Breakman, that you turned me on to that Disney Plus deal for 3 years, and I got it, and I am not regretting that in the least, man. At first, it was kind of flimsy because it had quite a few movies, but didn't have a lot of series. But this year, man, they're coming out with all the Marvel series, and they just announced a bunch of more Marvel series, and it's crazy. But how dare you, Breakman? How dare you? I'm really happy with Disney Plus, man. Like, it couldn't be better. It's going to get all the Disney it has all the Disney movies on there, and the Marvel movies, and the Marvel movies are pretty much kick ass from top to bottom. So, you know, it's good stuff, man, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Breakman, did you have any more Sweetos, or did we get to your Sweetos?
No, that's it.
Okay.
It's just another bad political week, like you said, with the pardons and interference and trials and
some of the other shit. On the bright side, Breakman, my Sweeto is Bloomberg got his ass handed to him at the Nevada debate. I don't know if you saw highlights, Breakman, but Bloomberg got his fucking lunch handed to him in a bag and got spanked at the same time by almost everybody on stage. I know Elizabeth Warren took a 2x4 to him. Sanders took a 2x4 to him. Even Biden took a 2x4 to Bloomberg. And the polls right after the debate, Bloomberg took a 20-point hit. So I don't think we're going to be seeing Bloomberg for very much longer. He's banking on Super Tuesday, but if Bernie pulls...
He's got a lot of money.
He does have a lot of money, and it bought him 15%, Breakman.
It bought Trump an election, I'm just saying.
I understand.
I mean, to a lesser extent. I mean, there were a lot of other reasons he won, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I understand, but... I don't think it's going to happen for Bloomberg. He got in way too late, Breakman. That's the advantage that everybody else in that field had. I know he wants to be the Bernie Sanders spoiler, but I think Bernie Sanders is turning into a juggernaut, man. If he takes South Carolina, he's looking strong in California. He's looking strong in Texas. Like, I don't see how anybody's going to really stop him. But, you know, when we have... Benjamin Dixon on here in about 15 minutes. We're definitely going to delve into that as well. But I mean, I watched the debate. This was the first debate that I watched from the beginning to the end. And what I got from it was Bloomberg is a smug piece of shit, racist asshole. And everybody knows it.
Don't forget misogynistic.
And misogynistic, and will not release people from NDAs. That's what Elizabeth Warren did to him. Bernie challenged him on electability and got his ass handed to him. So there you go, Bloomberg. Here's a piece of your ass. Warren handed him a piece of your ass. Even Joe Biden kind of got on Bloomberg, which I was really surprised. So
if I was Bloomberg, I would have just looked at him like, really, Joe? Really?
Yeah. Exactly. But he did a decent job. I'm going to give Biden a little bit of credit here, man. He actually... did decent, which Weiland, you know, put it very succinctly.
If I were to compare Biden to a character from Homestar Runner, he'd be Homestar.
He's definitely, man. Every time that guy talks, he stumbles. It's really weird.
Have you ever heard Homestar from Homestar Runner?
Yeah.
I have not. To me, when I think of him, I think of kind of maybe Gwynn Quagmire, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
He's more like Ralph, if you ask me.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, Ralph, like, he'd be completely inappropriate with women, like, you know, sniffing them and stuff like that.
Oh, God, man. Like Bernie did that to me a few weeks ago. She, like, sniffed my hair like Biden, and it sent chills up my spine. I think at the time I even said, what are you, Bidening me or what? You know,
the Bidening.
Yeah, the Bidening, exactly. Yeah, stop it. She's doing it now. How dare you? Okay, guys, let's move on because
we're happening the Biden name.
Yeah. Let's move on real quick here, guys. I have a free for all that I want to do before we get our guest on. It's a free for all. All right, guys. free-for-all is going to be kind of fun this week. We only have a few minutes to do it, so I'll get right into it. Is there a game out there that you regret not beating?
Because I'll get to it eventually.
Well, Eric, you play anything and everything, man. Seriously. You and Dungeon Buster. I wish Dungeon was here, man. Dungeon is he's a master video gamer for sure. We have Before N Please is in chat. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Before N Please? Before N? I don't know. I'm mispronouncing. But thank you so much for joining. Windsocks in there as well. And Commander Root, thank you all for joining on in the program here. It's an interesting question that, there's some that I regret that I did not finish, and it's some even in my favorite video game series of all time, Dragon Quest. Like I never finished 7, and that's a game that I really got to get to and finish.
On the flip side, there are games I've regretted not completing sooner.
Like what? What's some of them?
Like Vesperia, I put it off for like 8 years before I finished that game. I had to finish it for a review.
Yeah.
But I wish I had beaten it back in the day.
Yeah, Vesperia is a good game, man, for sure. What about you, Breakman? Anything?
Not necessarily. I don't regret not beating it just because it was completely unbeatable, I believe. Just the games like Battletoads, for instance, you'd get stuck on a certain fucking level and there's no way
past. It's not unbeatable, it's just infuriatingly unnecessarily difficult because of its bullshit.
No, only wizards can beat the game.
Exactly, man. Only conjurers and wizards and necromancers can beat that fucking game, man. Like,
well,
that's,
necromancers can beat every game.
The weird thing is, true. Like, other Battletoad games are definitely more manageable. Yeah. The NES Battletoads is fuckery.
I mean, yes, I'm not even talking about...
Or the arcade one, that's also
so fuckery. The Super Nintendo one was also fuckery.
Yeah,
Super Nintendo one had like fucking hard scrolling levels, just like that. That third level of Battletoads. I'm just having such a fun time, and then you get to this third level where you're on this jet ski and you die and go all the way back to the beginning.
I think the new Battletoads is not going to be that ridiculously stupid hard.
Yeah, Wyland says, I wonder if anyone has made some Biden hilarity in Dreams. You know that new game Dreams. I would love that, Wyland. If somebody did that, that would be like fucking awesome, man. That guy's unhinged, man. It's so weird.
I guess maybe I didn't finish Final Fantasy VII. I watched somebody else finish it.
Yeah, okay. I think Final Fantasy VII is definitely an important game, but I think it's kind of overrated in that series, to be honest. I guess you get a pass on that one, Break, but, I don't know, for the longest I had Final Fantasy IX, I didn't finish Final Fantasy IX, and I finished that, but I would have put that in there, but I did finish it. I don't know, man, oh yeah, Freak Five says in the fucking sewer levels of TMNT. Yeah, those
I remember the dam level from the original.
Yeah,
where you have to swim and deactivate all the bombs. I hated that so much; I could never beat it.
Yeah, dude, that was rough, man. In the day, like people had the regular Nintendo days. Like you had games that you kept at it over and over and eventually you would beat it, but man, there's certain games like that oh man, Battletoads for sure, but
no matter how many times you try and it's like, I can't pass this. This is ridiculous. Like I was doing just fine until I get to this. What the fuck?
Yeah, Demon Souls
is the third level, god damn it.
Demon Souls is a game that I regret not finishing. I really do, man, because
now you mention it, yeah, but like I am gonna get back to it, so
yeah. Demon Souls is one for sure that I regret not finishing it, because I was doing fairly well with it. Like I saw it for what it was. Like when you play that game, like normally you just want to go in there and hack and slash everything, and you obviously can't do that in those type of games. You have to have,
especially in Demon Souls, because you can't even dodge roll diagonally.
Yeah. So that's definitely a game, though, that I was being very patient, and I know I could have probably have done some damage in that game, but, I still never finished Demon's Souls, so that's what I would definitely, definitely play that game again if there was a remaster. Like, there's been rumors.
I'm tempted just to play the original.
Yeah.
Even without online capability.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
There would probably be a lot of games that I wouldn't have been able to beat if it wasn't for the Game Genies back in the day. Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo Game Genie. Without those, there'd probably be a longer list. I'd just be going on and on. Like,
how dare you cheat? How dare you cheat?
I don't know. Maybe I do have a game I regret not beating, at least not beating legitimately. That'd be Castlevania 3.
Oh, really? Huh. That's interesting.
You beat that legitimately?
No.
Really?
Huh. That's interesting, Eric.
Yeah.
Especially since the North American release has damage values that were messed around with from the Japanese original.
Yeah.
And it's carbon garbage.
Yeah.
The original was one of those few games I actually did beat without a Game Genie.
You know, I didn't beat the original Castlevania. I'm ashamed because that game... Yeah, I never beat that game, man. I thought it was too difficult, man. Like, when you got into the point...
You could play the Japanese re-release that was on the Famicom that is available as a part of the Castlevania Collection.
Yeah.
And play it in easy mode where you'll take significantly less damage and you'll do more.
Yeah.
And if you die, you get to keep the weapon and the hearts you had.
Yeah.
I say that, and that might the first one I might have had a Game Genie to beat. The third one I know I beat legitimately, but the first one might have had a Game Genie. There are some really hard battles in the first one.
Yeah, there's some hard battles, and then like I would get to the point where like you would be on platforms, and those fucking Medusa heads would just knock me off time and time again. I could never get the timing right. You know, it was one of those things where you just had to time shit right and just like jump, and you know, I don't know if I didn't have the reflexes or the patience to deal with that shit, man. I love the game. I used to play it all the time, but to beat it, no way, man.
I don't think the original had passwords was the problem.
Yeah, I don't think it did either, if I'm remembering correctly. It's been years, but yeah, for sure, man. That's definitely a game I regret not beating, man. The Witcher 3 I haven't beat yet, and I'm definitely ashamed of that. I got to get into that and beat that game, because that's a wonderful game, man. Like, everything I've played thus far on that game is it's almost pitch perfect. It's almost a pitch perfect RPG, action RPG, story-wise, looks gorgeous. I mean, it's almost a perfect game. It's like a lot like Spider-Man, man. Spider-Man's almost a perfect game. I just... you know, never beat The Witcher 3, so that's one that's still on my radar, though. So, Freak Fight says he's been playing Final Fantasy IX, hasn't used the cheats available on the PS4 version yet because it won't give me trophies if I use them. But I am thinking, fuck the trophies. Yeah, fuck the trophies. Fuck the trophies,
yeah, Freak Fight. Fuck trophies. I get it, though, because if achievements are on the table, like, I am like, okay, I won't cheat because I want those achievements.
I know, but you know, fuck them, man. Really, fuck achievements and trophies. Although, I will say...
They're so meaningless, whereas, you know, fun, enjoyment, those are things we should be focused on.
I will say, though, I tried my hardest to get as many trophies as possible in Spider-Man, but as hard as I tried, I got 50%. Of the trophies on my first playthrough, man. And I beat every mission, I beat every side quest, and I'm like, what the fuck do I have to do? Like kill like 100 enemies in a row without dying or some shit? Like, some of those trophies are... this is another thing that bothers me about trophies. Why are there hidden trophies? Why? Why are there hidden trophies? I don't understand.
It's a secret.
Yeah. I understand the secret ones. They usually it's because it's just a plot thing.
Yeah, but name it something else. Name it something else. You know what I mean? Like, don't
it's like beat chapter one or something.
Like, yeah, like don't
like even the Xbox has done this now. Like, when you get a hidden trophy, it does it like a little jingle.
Well, the Xbox has always done that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I turn the sounds off, so I never hear the jingles.
I do too, man. Like, I'm like, whatever. If I at this point in my gaming career,
no, I turn the ones off on my Xbox One because they're so much longer than the jingles of the Xbox or than the PS4. It's like PS4. It's like this little ping noise.
Yeah.
But like, here, it's like Glitter.
It's like a it's a celebration with Xbox. And yeah. I love it when it pops up. Like, yeah. I love it when they.
I normally hate it with the Xbox up, though, like, because yeah. it seems like there's a frame drop whenever that happens. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I don't.
And sometimes it gets in the way of subtitles. So it's like.
Yeah. That does happen, yeah.
I'm not
had the brain issues, but
I'm not a big on trophies, but when I think that a platinum trophy is available, I try for it, but man, I don't know if I want to invest the time in Spider-Man, for instance, to get the platinum trophy, you know? I mean,
mostly just doing a bunch of random stuff.
Yeah, it was like, you know, God of War, I got a platinum in God of War, which is, you know, it's pretty difficult to do. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but I got a platinum in it, and
the hardest thing to do in that game is to beat the final Valkyrie.
Oh God, the final Valkyrie! You know how many times I played that, Eric, to get it? It was like I literally like 30 or 40 tries to beat that last boss. Man, it was super hard. But there's certain things in that game that are pretty difficult, but not so difficult that you're like, oh God, this is going to be the worst, you know? But whatever, you know, that's just the way of the world, I guess. But what have you ever specifically gone for a platinum trophy, Breakman?
No, I've never gone for a platinum
trophy. I mean, like a full 100% achievement, whatever the Xbox thing is.
Yeah, I've tried it with a couple games. I think like South Park game and. I tried it with the Ghostbusters game, but there were some online achievements that I could never get because, you know, there aren't people playing online.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the multiplayer, forget it.
Like, so I wonder if you get the Xbox One version of Ghostbusters and you play the 360 version, does the trophies carry over? I mean,
doubtful, because I got completely new achievements for the Master Chief Collection over the achievements I'd already had for Halo games.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
So, because I know with, like, the Trails games, like, the PS4 port from the PS3 and Vita versions, they use the same trophy list.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the achievements are similar, or probably some of them are just complete copies, but you do get new achievements, so that's pretty cool. Okay. Although, I've beat, four games on that Master Chief Collection. I only have, like, 16% of the achievements. It's ridiculous.
I know. Usually on your first playthrough, it's like you get, like, anywhere from 15 to 30%. You're like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? Like, I thought I was kicking ass.
It's also weird. Like, if you go to the PS4 and you look at your, like, the trophy percentage, it'll even count DLC as part of your trophy percentage. So even if you got 100% of the trophies in the main game, your overall percentage will not register as 100%.
Yeah. Freak Pie says, I think I have a couple of platinums. Slagar says, I think the only platinum I got was Lego Harry Potter and Indiana Jones.
I'd really liked Lego Indiana Jones, but goddamn, the theme song over and over and over again really sort of grated on my nerves.
Yeah.
Like, come on, there's got to be more music. Come on. No, just the theme song. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm just getting confirmation on our guest, see if he's ready to go so I can add him so we can do this interview. It should be fun. I think I've got a lot of good questions, and Eric had a good question, and Breakman, I'm sure you'll jump in with some questions as needed. But let's see if we can get our guest on the line here. Let's see. Let's try it. There we go. Let's try adding our guest here. Oh, sorry for the silence here, guys.
Technical difficulties that we're always freaking having. Yeah. We're sorry.
For sure. Let's see if we can get our guest on. Let's see here. Nobody yet.
Don't exile the guests.
Yeah, no, I definitely won't do that. Try not to. I mean, you know, I'm not above it, man. If we have a guest and I need to exile, I will exile. I won't hesitate. You guys know. I don't mess around when it comes to exiling at all. Well, damn it, what the hell's going on here? What's going on? So, Break, are you still on your, oh, Shit, what's going on here? I'm getting a call from Jacksonville, Florida. No, that's not. Let's not do that. I don't know anybody from Jacksonville, Florida.
It's a bill collector. Put them on. Or it's a robocall. Never mind.
Yeah, I should. Let me, you guys want me to answer? I'll answer right on air. Here, hang on. Hello? Hey, Benjamin, do you have Skype? Yeah, I was just calling you on Skype. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, all right, bye. That was our guest. He's going on Skype right now.
Good thing you answered it.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. I was like, ooh, I don't know anybody from Florida. Let's get this call. So let's wait till he gets on Skype here. And
I don't
want
to talk to anybody that's having good weather.
Yeah. Okay, let's add Mr. Dixon to the line here. Let's see how this goes. Yeah, this will be interesting. Mr. Dixon, do we have you on the line?
Yes, this is Ben.
All right, Ben, thank you for joining. You know, sorry about the...
no, that was on me. I should have followed instructions. So yeah. It's good.
No worries. I'm glad we got you on the show. Let me give you a proper introduction here. On the line, we have Benjamin Dixon. He's a journalist, progressive political commentator, host of the Benjamin Dixon Show, author of a book called God Is Not a Republican. Welcome to the show. You're on with Frank, Eric, and Breakman.
Fully overqualified.
Oh, man, we got the whole squad.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Definitely a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, really, really. Thank you for taking time out of your day, and special thanks to your wife for coordinating this whole thing.
I would have messed it up.
Yeah, no problem. Breakman said something very interesting there. He said you're definitely overqualified to be on the show. So really appreciate you being on the show. I want to start in with your website. You have a website called progressivearmy.com, mm-hmm. and you had a really interesting quote in your bio that I want to bring up here. It said, I quote here, "Coming to the realization that my faith had been used to increase the power of the Republican Party and white supremacy forced me into confronting my own belief system, I had to help explain to as many people as possible that the way we've been preached to since 1980 has been specifically designed to benefit the Republican Party, even to the detriment of our faith, and especially to the detriment of marginalized communities around the nation and around the globe." That quote is extremely interesting to me, Ben, because as an atheist, it couldn't have spoke to me more. It's interesting because, well, I'll let you explain. Why did you say that?
Why did I write that?
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. Is that's from my book or from my bio? Because that's a hell of a lot to be. Where is that from?
It's from your book. It's from your book, God Is Not a Republican. Well, it's from your bio.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's from your bio, but it's from, like, you're explaining your book.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, makes sense. Okay, so, man, that was 10 years. I grew up in the church. I grew up in front of my father preaching every Sunday for 41 years that he was a pastor. Obviously, I'm not 41. All my life, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I heard him preach to me was really about faith that helps people, like faith that does that does good works, that feeds the homeless. But then I thought about it from a systemic level, like,
yeah,
it's cool to feed the homeless, but how do we stop homelessness?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that from there, it became not a question of being good character and faith and using your faith for good things. It becomes a question of the system that you exist in. Why do we have homelessness? It's because we have capitalism. But
yeah.
Anyway.
That's yeah. Yeah. No, we're going to get into that for sure. And I appreciate you coming on because this is the stuff I have for you before we get into the political stuff, Ben, let's talk about what is your favorite video game of all time? Because this is kind of a video game podcast and I want to get that out before we get in.
Man, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
My favorite modern game, and don't laugh at me because I know it's not modern, but I'm talking about of the Xbox 360 era.
Yeah.
I think it had to be Halo 3. I loved Halo 3, like Team Slayer,
yeah.
8-on-8, like that was my job. I was the gunner. You put me in a Warthog, and I was the best gunner in the online.
This is probably music to Breakman's ears. Breakman's a huge Halo fan, man. Like he,
oh, you man. Have no idea how excited I am right now.
Yeah. I'm like, that was my shit. I'm sorry. Are we what rating? This is a
totally uncensored, man. Totally uncensored. Okay. Feel free to say whatever you want. Yeah.
But yeah, but of the old era. Watch it. It's crazy, right? Of the old era, I would say like Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it's a great game, man. It's one of the greatest games of all time. But all right. Well, now I'm going to get into some stuff here, Ben. I want to say you unearthed, and I don't know if that's a proper term, but you unearthed some pretty incriminating audio from Michael Bloomberg where he seemed to kind of, in my view, kind of champion the idea of stop and frisk and, you know, mm-hmm. talk about minorities and all that. Let me play the clip for you and then we'll discuss it right after. This is from MSNBC and MSNBC of all places.
95% of your murders and murderers and murder victims is one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male, minorities, 15 to 25. That's true in New York, it's true in virtually every city.
The audio clip was posted by podcaster and Sanders supporter Benjamin Dixon on Twitter and was taken from Bloomberg's comments at the Aspen Institute back in 2015. Bloomberg went on to say, quote, "We put all the cops in minority neighborhoods." Yes, that's true. Why do we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. On Tuesday morning, Bloomberg issued a statement apologizing, saying in part, "I inherited the police practice of stop and frisk, and as part of our effort to stop gun violence, it was overused. I regret that, and I have apologized, and I've taken responsibility for taking too long to understand the impact it had on Black and Latino communities." NBC News has learned.
Okay, so that's a clip. I don't want to play anymore because it's hard to look at Joe and Mika on MSNBC, Ben. But so why hasn't this really disqualified Bloomberg from running?
Oh, man, because money is the king of everything, right? Yeah, he's gotten enough money to have the Democratic Party do his bidding. So who's going to stop him?
Yeah. And I think this plays into the media narrative as well, the mainstream media narrative. And it just it drives me crazy that they've been propping up this guy for what seems like months now, even though he hasn't been had a presence in the first four states or three states anyways.
Right. Right.
So why did he get any bump in the polls? Other than the money, you know, I know we always go back to the money, but don't people have minds of their own and kind of make their own decisions not based on money?
Well, tell
was
me
that
why
a joke or were you
why do you
that?
Like why do you like what you like?
Right, right. No, I get it. I get it, you know.
Yeah, like no, but like let's really go to the source of it, right?
Yeah.
Why do you hold the opinions that you hold? Why do any of us believe anything that we see or hear? Like there's plenty of reason to be skeptical about everything. And in this perspective, like people every single day, all of us have images being thrown into our head by the media, by every form of media, whether even if you're reading a book, like that author is throwing images in your head and you're deciding whether or not you're going to do something with it. But watch this, like most people, when they're watching television, they honestly believe that the people on television are trying to help them understand the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Not knowing that they're there clearly to give them a specific image that keeps us under control. So the long story short is we're all susceptible to it. It's right. just a matter of what do we actually take the time to investigate, interrogate, and question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, I mean, it's really difficult for me to, I mean, nobody really knows what it's like to be a billionaire, right? But I guess if you have that much money, you can really like have yes men your entire life, you know, and not worry about the consequences up until, you know, there is a certain point where you do have to answer. But why, I guess my question is like, haven't we known about Bloomberg like for years now? Like when he was mayor of New York City, it was the big thing, that, you know, the stop and frisk shit, you know, it was, it boggles my mind that people forget so quick of how awful this guy was. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, I want to challenge the idea that people were even aware what was going on.
Yeah.
Because for the people to be aware of what was going on, that means the media had to have been giving it its proper coverage.
Right.
Otherwise, we have no idea what's going on in New York.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
And then we have to ask ourselves, during that time, how much actual coverage was it?
Yeah.
Would you have? Here's the answer. The reason you would not have any coverage of stop and frisk was because it's not just the police officers who were complicit. It's the media who never put the spotlight on it all of those years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I guess that leads into my next question, which, you know, I live in Denver. My counterparts live in Ohio. And I heard an ad here on the radio from Michael Bloomberg that where he's like touting inclusion and coming together and all these, you know, do it together, I guess, is his main campaign phrase, which kind of makes sense if you're actually about that, you know. But it boggles my mind that he would even include inclusion in any of his ads, because he has such a putrid history of treating, you know, poor people, minorities, you know, people of color. It doesn't matter. Like he's awful. He's been awful for a long ass time. What do you make of that?
I make that's exactly what we should expect from any human being. They are going to project images in your head. He's never going to buy ads, right?
Yeah.
That are going to tell the truth about him.
Right.
He's going to always use his money to his advantage. We can't really expect him to do anything else. Now, is it ridiculous? To your question, is it ridiculous? It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But in terms of his power, his personal ability to tell the world, this is who Michael Bloomberg is. Check out what I said a second ago, right? Mm. How is anybody in Alabama supposed to know what's going on in Harlem if the media isn't covering it?
Well,
so did the media cover it? No. But guess what they saw? What is the first thing they saw about New York? A lot of people, first thing they're knowing about stop and frisk, they met Mayor Bloomberg in his Facebook advertisements before they heard of stop and frisk.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, so here's a question for you. Is Michael Bloomberg worse than Donald Trump?
Here's why that answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because he is purchasing our democracy with his pocket change. He is the ninth richest person in this country. And in order to save about $3.56 billion a year, which he would have to pay with Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax, and of course it would be a little bit higher with Bernie Sanders, you know, you're looking at about, what, that $14 billion over the term of the first term of whoever's going to be the next president. What difference does it make if I spend $2 billion to make sure that doesn't happen?
Actually, in his view, he might even take a loss just to keep the status quo.
It's the most important thing for them. This is why I need people to really, this is the message. Michael Bloomberg, even if Trump wins, Michael Bloomberg still wins. What about the rest of us?
Yeah, for sure. I don't even know what to say to that, Ben. I guess I'm just going to move on, because it just boggles my mind that he's at 15%. Although I did see he took a hit after the debate. I guess
30 that, points amongst moderates. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Nevada Democratic debate, Ben. Who do you think won and who do you think lost in the debate?
In the future debate, the one tomorrow. You want me to tell the history of tomorrow?
Yes, sure.
Bernie's got to come out on top.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason he has to come out on top is because they're doing the work, and they're combining this cult personality of people who actually like just adore Bernie Sanders, which I don't say that in a derogatory way. Like, people love him, but people are actually working. You know, you have people flying in from other parts of the country, going and knocking door to door. I mean, Bernie Sanders has people who volunteer their own dollars to go and canvass on his behalf.
Yeah.
Now, that's got to win. Now, is it inevitable? No. And that's why the work that they're doing matters so much. So That said, Bernie Sanders comes in number one. I think it's going to be pretty much like we've seen. Actually, Warren might creep up on Pete Buttigieg, because I think she's starting to get the eye of the moderates and the centrists.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to pick up a little bit. She might actually come in very close second with Pete, but let's see.
Yeah, I don't think Warren is a progressive at all. I've had people argue with me online about it, and I don't know what to say to them. I mean, just look at her lies that, you know, the past, you know, 100 lies that she said. But, you know, let me go back to the Nevada debate. An interesting question was raised when they asked all the candidates about a contested convention. And everybody but Bernie said, you know, let the process play out, which to me is super disturbing. But I remember video of Warren and Buttigieg both arguing that, you know, the most votes should win the election in the general. And of course, you have the Hillary Clinton stands always touting that they had more votes in the general election than Donald Trump, which is true. But why is there such a double standard, especially now in the Democratic, the DNC especially?
Well, let me ask you, do you really believe that they would ever tell the truth?
No.
I mean, we kind of have to just start there. Why would anyone, we have to expect this, right? You have to expect that everyone is going to do what's in their personal best interest. And they are never going to put out something from them that's going to tell the truth about them, especially if that truth is bad. So I'm not surprised. Is it hypocrisy? Yes, but everybody does it. And all of us are capable of doing it. So here's the thing, right? 4 years ago, Bernie Sanders was on the opposite side of this argument, right?
Yeah.
And you know, fine, I'm not going to try to draw false equivalence. But what I'm saying is when we're negotiating for something valuable, people are willing to get out of character and come to the argument, come to the discussion or to the debate with disingenuous arguments.
Yeah. No question about that. You know, so I guess the next question I have for you is, you know, how does that change in the DNC, or, you know, or does it change? Like, can we make it change?
No, we can't.
Yeah.
Not until it's human nature. Right. You're going to see that in every facet of life. You're going to see that in your relationships. You're going to see that in your friendships. You're going to see that in corporate America. Everywhere you go, there's going to be opportunities for exchange, and there are going to be people willing to take advantage of that for their own personal benefit and their own gain. And you really just have to pause and say, we should have expected that, because that's how they are going to operate. So it's, you know, coming back from all of that, it's it really is to be expected that they are going to lie to us, because they are always going to operate in their own best interest. And so what we have to do is we have to preemptively stop them and say, listen, we know exactly what you're doing here. And if you even try to go there, we're going to burn everything down. We're not just going to burn down the presidential seat. We're going down ballot, and anybody who supported the seizure of our democracy. We are going to oppose you throughout the rest of your political career.
I think we kind of did that, though, didn't we, in the Iowa caucus? And we saw how that went with everything. But it turns out, I think Bernie is like, what, 0.004% back behind. Somehow the math worked out. Yeah, it was just really bad. Which that leads me to this next point. Like, doesn't it seem like if Bernie... Like, Bernie's going to have more of a problem with his own party than with Trump, in my view. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Simply because Donald Trump, he's a gamesman. He's a showman. And he's going to go out there to have fun, right?
Yeah.
And if that includes being dirty, Donald Trump is going to be dirty. The Democratic Party is so committed to stopping Bernie Sanders' rather mild revolution, I must say.
Yeah.
They're so committed to stopping it that they would rather lose to Donald Trump than to let Bernie Sanders get power.
Yeah. Well, that, again, that leads to my next question. This is actually really, I don't even have to transition. So if Bernie goes into the convention with like a plurality and not a majority, and the DNC decides to give the nomination to anyone else, is at the end of the Democratic Party.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is. And we have created, and here's why. All we have to do amongst us, we're not talking about a figurative end.
Yeah.
I'm talking about them getting crushed at the polls. Where enough of us sit out of the races, you can go vote, but anybody who supported this coup, yeah, anyone who supported this seizure of democracy, we vote against you or we abstain from your race. And we're going to itemize these people name by name, race by race, and mm-hmm. anyone who's complicit with the seizure of democracy, you know, we're just going to strike.
This is interesting because I keep going back to Elizabeth Warren. Like, one of her surrogates was on, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but they were basically touting, like, whoever was, you know, the plurality leader doesn't necessarily deserve the nomination. And then the interesting follow-up question was, well, you know, what does that say about the person that has even less votes than the right. you know, the right. person? Like, you want somebody with even less delegates to be the president right. of the United States. It really doesn't make any sense. So if Bernie does get the majority, which I think there actually is a decent shot at it, looking at, you know, a lot of the polls, I don't really put too much stock into it, but they've been fairly accurate this time around. Yeah. Who's going to be his vice president?
Oh, man. Hell, that's your guess is as good as mine, man. Honestly, I don't want to throw any names out there.
I'll throw a name out there.
There's a big lie, but yeah. Who do you think?
Nina Turner. I think
if that's what she wants to do, I don't know that it's something that she. I know her tangentially. You know, I know her well enough to contact her, and I just never. Anytime I've ever talked with her, I never felt that she wanted that. I think she's more of a revolutionary on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I have always viewed Nina Turner as a firebrand that could really, really like rally people as a VP. Like, if you look at somebody like Mike Pence, he doesn't exactly inspire anybody. You know, he doesn't do anything. He's
and don't get me wrong. I think Nina would do a great job. I think she would be perfect and suited for that position without any question. Yeah. I just want to like pause long enough to ask her what she would want to do before we try to throw one of those.
No, for sure. But I think she would be a fantastic VP, man. I can't see anybody else by Bernie. You know, I mean, people have talked about maybe Tulsi Gabbard, maybe Barbara Lee. None of them like really say anything to me personally as a person of color. And I've talked to, you know, white people, I've talked to black people, brown people, and everybody comes back to the same person, Nina Turner. It's gotta be Nina. It's gotta be Nina. And I'm with them, man. I'm all for it, yeah. But, all right.
I definitely see that argument. That's good stuff. I like that.
Yeah. I got another question for you here. Mm-hmm. I got to find the quote. I'm looking for it now. I think it just happened yesterday or today as I'm scrolling through your Twitter feed here. I got to find. Oh, here it is. Dr. Jason Johnson. All right. I want to quote something that he said, and I want to ask you about it. He said, quote, "Racist liberal whites seem to love them some Bernie Sanders. He cares nothing for intersectionality. I don't care how many people from the island of misfit black girls you throw out there to defend you." This was an interesting comment because he seems to contradict himself. He's talking about liberal whites, and then he brings up, quote, misfit black girls. And I thought that was one of the worst things I've seen on Twitter in a long, long time. So I saw that you kind of responded to Dr. Johnson. By the way, I was blocked by Jason Johnson for calling him a grifter. So I have the distinction of being blocked by Dr. Johnson. So what's your take on that? I know from your Twitter feed, but I want you to express it in your own terms.
Oh, yeah. No, it's no biggie, man. I had a chance. I don't know if you guys saw the clip, but I was on MSNBC not too long ago this evening, and I just called him out about it. And the reason I called him out about it was because, I mean, dude, seriously? Is that what we are reducing this down to now? All of that intelligence in your head, brother.
Yeah.
All of that magnificent intelligence in your head, and we're reducing it down to insulting not just another human being,
yeah,
but another, not just another black person, but your sister.
Yeah. And who was he talking about? Was he talking about Brianna? Was he talking about Nina Turner?
I think he was talking about all of them. But how dare he?
Yeah.
Right? How dare you speak with a condescending gaze down towards women who have pulled themselves up like through everything to get where they are, and you want to insult them for the sake of what?
Yeah.
Like, what's your why are you so motivated to go after these black women like this? So I called him out on MSNBC because we need to have some words.
Yeah. No, I saw that tweet, and I knew you were going to be after it. Like, I mean, if I had a chance to tell him to his face, I would, because I think it was,
yeah.
You want to talk about deplorable, you know, people talk about Donald Trump supporters being deplorable. I think Jason Johnson's one of the most deplorable, despicable pundits on TV. He is, everything that I've ever seen from Jason Johnson has been nothing but vitriol when it comes to Bernie, and nothing but praise for an oligarch and Michael Bloomberg. And I think the contrast is stunning. And I kind of get the idea that he's paid a lot of money to do this type of thing. I don't know what the deal is.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing about it. So I'm not getting paid any money to do this. I'm not a part of Bernie Sanders' team.
Yeah.
I would take a job because rent's coming up pretty soon here. you know, be honest with you, like I'm part of the working class for all intents and purposes, and I'm doing the work that I do for free. Only thing I really make is only thing I make from this show is from my patrons.
Okay? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, we're not, and nobody's sourcing this. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm willing to fight with everything I have for free for the right thing. And Jason, he's willing to fight for the money.
Yeah.
He's willing to fight and do the wrong thing. Now, I know this is a pretty hefty accusation towards him, but the reason I'm willing to put this out here is because I'm amazed that a brother with that much brilliance would intentionally engage with us disingenuously. How you do that, bro?
Yeah, it goes with the whole Bernie Bros thing, which I find kind of deplorable. I mean, I always, when I first heard that phrase, it started, I think, in 2015, when people started calling Bernie Sanders supporters quote unquote Bernie Bros. I mean, are you like literally discounting the women in this movement, and you know, the many other, you know, people that are, I mean, I just find it astounding that you have, like you said, a mild, I agree with you. I don't think it's a major revolution. I think it's a very mild, I mean, we could be talking about something completely different here, but here we are talking about a man who wants free healthcare for all, and, you know, free college and stuff that seemingly is fairly benign. Like, if you look at other countries, like even to the north of us, Canada has free healthcare. Like it's not a thing, you know. But here,
Germany has free college.
Yeah,
the UK has free healthcare. We are the only part of the developed world, and I don't really like that connotation, developed versus undeveloped.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are, in a way, we are at the very bottom of the developed world nations.
Yeah, yeah.
In our barbarity towards one another.
The richest country in the world, of course, that's probably only for the 1%,
right,
doesn't have free healthcare, and I can't think of anything worse than that.
Right,
Eric, you had a question about, I think it was about voter suppression. You wanna ask your question, Eric? Do we still have Eric? Eric, you there?
I need to find it first.
Oh, okay. Now Eric had a very interesting question. He had an exchange with somebody on Twitter. Find your question, Eric, because it's actually really important. It basically dealt with like voter purging and the suppression of votes. And it wasn't an argument, but he had an exchange with a person online that said, he basically, I think, Eric, your question was, should white people be worried about voter purging? Is that the essence of it, Eric? Was that your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you say to that?
In the sense of them being purged themselves or the
in general
of African Americans being purged?
All of the above. All of the above.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, they don't have to worry about being purged themselves unless actually, let me pause, rewind, take that back. I almost had to talk about this based on the state.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Georgia. In Georgia, yes, everybody needs to be concerned with being purged because, I mean, it happens. It happened to me in 2004. I could not vote because I was purged from the roll, and I'm like, how? You know, I'm registered to vote. How are you now telling me that I cannot vote? Right. And so it becomes, yes, everybody needs to worry about it, specifically in these states that are trying to keep hold of the conservative control of power.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to do everything they can to make sure these red states don't turn purple or these purple states don't turn blue, including voter suppression.
Well, here's
my thing. I live in Ohio, so this is of somewhat concern to me because it's been a traditionally conservative state for a long time.
Because I guess here's this assumption. Here's the assumption that we all must have. We must take this assumption going forward. We're like, everything that we talked about tonight is the fact that there are going to be people who will seek every opportunity, no matter how unbelievable it is to you, if there is a way that they can get a competitive edge, no matter how dishonest, no matter how treacherous, we need to assume that that's exactly what they're going to do. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting surprised by evil people sneaking in and getting power while we're out here looking like, what the hell just happened to us?
Yeah, yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Breakman, do you have any questions for our guest, Benjamin Dixon, of the Benjamin Dixon Show?
No. You guys are asking everything.
Okay. Ben, do you have a minute to kind of stick around after we end the show here? Because I want to talk to you about something real quick. It won't take too much of your time.
Okay, I'll be here.
All right. Cool. I want to end on this quote from you. It was a tweet, actually, that you tweeted out, Ben. It said, I quote, "I don't know who needs to hear this, but absolutely nothing great happens without the masses of the people. No one becomes a billionaire without the masses. No revolution occurs without the people. Every single one of us is just as important as any billionaire oligarch." And I don't think I could have said it better.
Wow.
I mean, that's a hell of a statement there, Ben.
Wow. Thank you, my friend. I didn't even really think.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, no problem. Let's do our plugs. Do you have anything you want to plug, Ben, before we end the show?
I want to plug your show. I want people to support your show. I want people to donate to your Patreon. I want people to follow you on Twitter. If you follow me, follow this whole squad, because I think what we have to start doing is, like the quote said, every single one of our voices matter. And we have an opportunity to communicate that voice through podcasting. So support your podcaster.
I'm going to hold you to that, Ben. When I start tweeting out about this show, I want some retweets. And
I got you. I'm pretty liberal with my retweets.
Yeah, right on, man. All right, Breakman, let's do your plugs, and then we'll do Eric's, and then we'll end the show. For everybody in chat, sorry I'm not going to be able to stick around. I want to talk to Ben real quick about a couple of things, but really appreciate everybody in chat for sure. All right, Breakman, your plugs.
Yeah, sorry, I'm hungry too, so that might be cloud my thinking right now.
No worries.
We have this thing called food quests.
Yeah.
You can follow me at @break_man on Twitter, and if you have any questions for the show or any Dear Breakman questions, you could ask them at RP Grinders. That's RPG RINDERS.
All right. Eric, your plugs.
You could find me on sites like BostonBastardBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, and VogNetwork.com. I write reviews, written reviews, and sometimes videos. That hasn't happened in a while, but if I get more support, maybe that can happen a little more often. But I have a Patreon for that. And if you like what I've written, throwing me as little as $1 a month would help out a lot.
All right.
And you can find my Patreon profile on my Twitter account at RPG.
All right. I want to thank our guest, Benjamin Dixon. What's your Twitter handle, Ben?
At Benjamin P. Dixon, D-I-X-O-N.
All right. Very much thanks to you. Really appreciate you being on the show and being a good sport and spending a little bit longer than a half an hour with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody in chat. Thanks to another TV viewer, B4N Plus, Commander Root, Phil the Bernie, which is, she's sitting right next to me. Johnny, she says hi, by the way, Ben. She's a Bernie fan. Wyland, thank you so much. Windsock, Slagar was in there, I know, earlier. And anybody else I missed, the archive listeners, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. As Breakman said, send questions in to at RP Grinders. You can catch me on any of the systems. It's RP Grinders on any of the systems, whether it's Sony, PlayStation, Xbox, or the Nintendo Switch. So thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll definitely be back next week. I can't promise a great interview every week, but you know, thanks to all the people out there listening, and a special thanks to Ben and your wife, your lovely wife Jada. She definitely helped out facilitating this interview. Much thanks to her as well, Ben.
Definitely, so, I will let her know. Thank you so much.
All right, let's end on that. Anything else, gentlemen, before we take off? Any parting words, Ben, before we end the show?
When you can be kind, be kind. But when you can't, take no prisoners.
I love it. All right, anything else, gentlemen, before we end the show?
Have a good weekend.
All right. Have a good weekend. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Till then, we are out. Thanks, everybody. You brought the harmonica. Damn it. Had to ruin the outro break, man.